Surprise, said the Supreme Court of the United States as they screwed about half the population of the United States.
It's Friday!
It's showtime.
Oh, it is, it is, it is. It is the 10th day of December 2021. In point of fact, and this is The Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. This program is, in fact, live for this aforementioned 10th day of December 2021. And I am told that we are 999 for the packet passing and the streaming. Thank you very kindly, Brother Deacon Asa. It is Friday on the front porch, among other things, hereabouts. And so, here in about an hour or so, we will gather together in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler elves and around which we gather the extraordinary ordinary round table participants around the extraordinary ordinary round table and cuss and discuss the matters of the past week and whatever's on the community's, the Horn Family Community congregation's mind. And just see where that conversation takes us. And it would be silly to think that we're going to talk about anything except the nasty little surprise that the nasty little gang of thugs from the in those black robes at the Supreme Court delivered today. And we will get to it. But, of course, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. And this program is no different. And so what that means is we send out thanks on this 10th day of the month for our 10th day of the month subscribers. And that means thanks ever so to Paul from Parts Unknown and Daniel. Thanks to Judy, and thank you very kindly. That takes care of our 10th day of the month subscribers. We have three on the 10th of the month, and if you'd like to help out, that help is decidedly needed. And let's see, the fundraising goal for this evening is $1,370. That's a whopping big sum, and there's a ton of bills to pay and, well, everything else that, you know, staying alive part of all of this while we're here and whatnot. But if you'd like to help out, run over to headon.live, use the PayPal interface there, and we will knock it down slowly but surely. Late yesterday, thank you to our dear friend Christopher, who jumped in and helped out with fundraising. I should say properly it's 1,360, perhaps. Yes, Ralph wants to know, did you just pop a can of something? Yeah, I didn't. Annette did. I have before me here an ice-cold can of something I cannot get at home. And namely, that is an ice-cold can of caffeine-free Coke Zero. And it certainly is good. I'm probably going to try to take a few 12-packs home along with some 12-packs of Diet Grapecode, who at least hopefully get me to spring. I usually drink water during the program, but today I decided to cut loose and live large. And yes, I have both, but I decided to have an ice-cold, caffeine-free Coke Zero for the program. But anyway, yeah, Billable Rick's Don't Give Them the Chance Challenge remains on the table. There's $15 remaining in that, and hopefully people will respond to that sometime in the near future, and we'll get the fundraising goal knocked down just a little bit, or hopefully a lot. A little community made miracle would be wonderful this evening. If you should happen to pop by headon.live, don't forget about the chat room. Run on by and pick out a screen name and a password if you never have before. You'll be greeted by the early arrivers, Dowhead and Roger in Oregon, and Squeaky and Stock and Larry, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, having folded space, has become man cave, even though he may not be in the man cave. He may just have the man cave, he may have folded the man cave computer into the 55-inch monitor in the living room, if I recall the logistics correctly. Mm-hmm. Oh, did I do the "Hi, I'm Robin" part? Because I am. I'm Robin. And this is the horn. And it is it is Friday on the front porch. And like I said, I don't see any way for the skullduggery of the Supreme Court to avoid being avoid being the primary topic of discussion. A little piece of trivia. I heard from our pal Joy in Ann Arbor. I was mispronouncing the name of the lawyer who was who has filed the lawsuits against the school system and some administrators and teachers there in Oxpatch, Michigan. And I mispronounced his name as Feger. It is not Feger. It is, in fact, Feiger, as Joy informed me. And Joy said that Jeffrey Feiger is a huge character here in Michigan, attracts strong haters and strong supporters. If I ever needed a defense attorney, he's the one I'd choose because he'll fight them on the beaches for you. But here's the trivia question, or the trivia fact, and this is kind of wild, because when I noted his name, I was like, that seems familiar. He is the brother of Doug Feiger. Doug Feiger. Now, maybe that won't resonate with you, but it jumped all over my old DJ brain because I realized that Doug Feiger, back in the day, was the musician and songwriter who, for a brief period of time, had all of America bebopping along to a rhythm that basically went na 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 na. Exactly, My Sharona. Doug Feiger was the front man of The Knack. And I even remember them being, oh, they're going to be the next Beatles. No. They had that song. They had My Sharona. And then they followed up with a second single called Good Girls Don't, But I Do. Right. You remember the next line. Exactly. And Billable Rick filling in some blanks as well. Jeffrey Feiger also, Billable tells us, defended Dr. Jack Kevorkian in the latter's many legal battles with the state of Michigan. So, lawyer Feiger is not afraid of a fight. No, that did not constitute singing. There will be no ruling from the community. I will rule directly ex cathedra, Steve in New York. Did that constitute singing, Steve asked? No, that was more like humming and or grunting, possibly screeching. Nah, 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 nah. I should probably not do that anymore, should I, dear? No, that's a definite shake of the head. No, don't do that, Robin. So there is no need for community involvement in that. That was loathsome and awful, and I apologize for it. Joy pointed out, Doug Feiger died kind of youngish some years ago. Just an interesting little footnote. But she also pointed out, and I had mentioned this the other day, although I didn't have quite the same level of detail that Joy provides. She said, schools are struggling statewide here. Hundreds, if not thousands, of copycat threats have shut down schools or put them into lockdown, and huge numbers of kids have been arrested, some sent to juvie. Law enforcement is not having any of this shit. Yesterday, my son's old high school here was locked down for 4 to 5 hours on a report of a gun being seen on a kid. Every cop and ambulance for miles around surrounded the campus, which uniquely consists of three large high schools and is treated like a college campus. There are 6,200 students, and every kid was searched, every backpack, and every room. Today, they're closed, but will be virtual for the next week or so. It's madness here. There's no education. There's no educating happening in my state right now. Bills have already been introduced in Lansing, but our gerrymandered Trumpublican legislature won't let them through. And Americans will look you square in the face and tell you they don't live in a war zone. Yeah, kind of do. Really do. Not kidding. So that update, and I don't know if other states are experiencing the same thing or not. But Lord, well, hopefully Jeffrey Figer will sue some sense into him. Yeah. That having been said, I mentioned the Supreme Court's ruling today. Old dead-eyed balls and strikes John Roberts concurred in part and dissented in part in the matter. Because the Supreme Court of the United States, in a decision that I think that you can probably put up there with Plessy versus Ferguson and with the Dred Scott decision, held that Texas's SB 8 law can stand. SB 8 being the vigilante law that Texas passed in order to try to get around the ban, a woman's constitutional right to.
Thanks to Realtor.com's home alerts.
Oh, shut up. Autoplay, really? We're going to do that? That's a thing? Anyway, SB 8 attempts to defeat a woman's right to choose by creating a right to have vigilante suits and let ordinary citizens sue people for aiding and abetting in an abortion. You remember all of this. It's absolutely disgusting. And the potential exists for it to lead to a real nightmare of various and sundry nullificationist laws in this country. And so it was early this morning when they decided to drop this little bomb. What a lovely Christmas gift from Amy Covid Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh and the like. The Washington Post had decent coverage. They put out they put the best face on it that they could. Instead of a headline that reads, SB 8 still stands, women can't get abortions in Texas, which is the ultimate upshot of the ruling, the Washington Post put out a headline that said, Texas abortion providers may challenge 6-week ban. And then the subhead, small print, but the justices leave the law in effect for now. Yeah. Robert Barnes at the Post writing, the Supreme Court on Friday left in place a Texas law that bans most abortions after 6 weeks, but it provided a path for abortion providers to challenge what is the nation's most restrictive law on the procedure. The court's splintered decision allows the providers to return to a district judge who once blocked the law, saying it violated the constitutional right to abortion. eight justices, count them, eight, said the abortion providers may bring the challenge. Writing for himself, Justice John Roberts and the three court liberals said that the district judge should act quickly. Roberts' writing, however, said, given the ongoing chilling effect of the state law, the district court should resolve this litigation and enter appropriate relief without delay. But the bottom line is, the stupid law remains in effect. And, I am wrong. No, I'm not. Amy Hagstrom Miller, president and chief executive of Whole Women's Health and Whole Women's Health Alliance, is the lead plaintiff in the case. And she said, we've had to turn hundreds of patients away since this ban took effect, and the Supreme Court's refusal to block the law means the heartbreak doesn't end. We hope this law is blocked quickly so we can resume the full scope of abortion care we are trained to provide. Then, of course, there's Justice Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, one of two credibly accused rapists who now sit on the Supreme Court of the United States. He said he would have just ended the lawsuit altogether. On the other hand, he said the court should have put an end to this madness months ago before SB 8 first went into effect. No, that was Sonia Sotomayor. No, the Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy, said it all should have just been put to bed, and the women should have just shut up and got back in the kitchen all barefoot and pregnant like God wants them to be. But Sonia Sotomayor said the court should have put an end to this madness months ago before SB 8 first went into effect, and went on to say that the refusal to block the law betrays not only the citizens of Texas, but also our constitutional system of government. Needless to say that the fetus fetishists are having a masturbatory frenzy over all of this. Marjorie Dannenfelter, or Dannenfelser, she runs the Susan B. Anthony List, a national fetus fetish organization, said, we celebrate that the Texas Heartbeat Act will remain in effect, saving the lives of unborn children and protecting mothers while litigation continues in lower courts so that mothers and children can freeze to death in the dead of winter the next time the Texas Republicans fuck up and the heat goes out next winter. Oh, I added that part about babies freezing to death in the winter because that's ultimately, after they're born, they're not our problem. Meanwhile, we anxiously await the court's decision in the Mississippi case in which the court is directly considering the constitutionality of laws that protect unborn children and mothers prior to viability. Good God. So we're going to continue to have this this shit-eating nullification, and previous precedents of the court, like Planned Parenthood versus Casey or Roe versus Wade, or you know what? Might be worth paying attention to this. Griswold versus Connecticut are all on the chopping block. Old Balls and Strikes did seem to be a tad upset. He said, the clear purpose and actual effect of SB 8 has been to nullify this court's rulings. It is, however, a basic principle that the Constitution is the fundamental and paramount law of the nation. Yeah, what a hoot. Not as long as this gang of religious maniacs remains on the bench. It is emphatically the province and duty of the Judicial Department to say what the law is. He went all the way back to Marbury versus Madison for that one. And who knows, maybe they'll go for Marbury versus Madison too, because you may remember, if you've been listening to this program for a long time and you have a memory like mine, you may remember, I think it was former governor, former presidential candidate, pastor, brother, minister, Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, howler monkey, patent medicine diabetes bullshit diabetes cure salesman Mike Huckabee, who at a rally in Washington, D.C. years ago, a few years back, declared that he wanted to see Marbury versus Madison overturned. The oldest and single most seminal piece of constitutional jurisprudence this country has on the shelf, and there are right-wingers that want to see it go bye-bye. Yeah. Right. Because that way, if Marbury was to go away, the Supreme Court would no longer be the final arbiter of what the Constitution means. It would just be a little, I guess, debating society and little else. Curiously, however, and this is another one of those cases of being of the horn being so far out in front of the issues that it's like, you know, ahead of the curve, it's like being on straight road. Old Balls and Strikes John Roberts said something that we have uttered here on this program months ago. Indeed, if the legislatures of the several states may at will annul the judgments of the courts of the United States and destroy the rights acquired under those judgments, the Constitution itself becomes a solemn mockery. And in that instance, he cited another ancient piece of Supreme Court jurisprudence that has, until now, stood the test of time, namely U.S. v. Peterson. It was 1809 that in U.S. v. Peterson, the Supreme Court said, No, state legislatures absolutely cannot overrule the federal courts. Sit down and shut thou the up. Well, they didn't include that part, but I'm sure they said it behind the scenes, you know, in the language which most people in this country understand. Right. Because I pointed out that very thing. So, yeah, I don't know. Get with it, California legislature. Get with it, Massachusetts legislature. Overrule the Second Amendment of the Constitution. No more guns. Do it. Because those geniuses, like, and you can't help wondering if Amy Covert Barrett had to ask her hubby if it was okay for her to have an opinion in this case, you know, her being a handmaid and all, of, well, you know, her other alternate name is, of course, of Donald. And, of course, Anne's boy, Neil, and Brat Kavanaugh. You got to wonder if they'd be okay with that. Well, you know, states have a right to overrule constitutional... Yeah. Well, no. See, that's the thing. A woman's right to control her own body ain't writ down nowhere in the Constitution, and we're constitutional originalists. Fucking idiots. I mean, Amy Covert Barrett, during her confirmation hearing, her confirmation farce, I should say, actually said that she had no business opining on constitutional rights because she is an originalist and she thinks that the only thing that matters is the original intent of the framers. You silly little...
Well, then she couldn't vote.
Right, exactly. Why were you even there in your confirmation farce? You can't vote. You couldn't be... The framers didn't think a little woman like you could ever be a judge or, for God's sakes, a lawyer. Lord knows you couldn't vote or own your own property, you silly, silly, silly thing, you. Why didn't you reject the appointment? Well, you know, that's because constitutional originalism is nothing but a great big honking humongous freaking sham and a judicial fraud that we have demonstrated time and time and time again here.
You need to go back in the archives and listen to Dr. Bill.
Thank you, Annette. Dr. Bill went over this in extreme detail as well. But Old Balls and Strikes said,
"The nature of the federal right infringed does not matter. It is the role of the Supreme Court in our constitutional system that is at stake."
And, of course, Amy Covert Barrett and Brat Kavanaugh and the... other credibly accused sexual rapist on the court, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, and Ann's boy Neil, and Sammy shoot the black kid in the back of the head, Alito, and yeah, they all just looked at John Roberts and said, oh, shut the fuck up. Nobody wants to hear from you. We're setting up a theocracy here. We're doing this for a sweet little fake baby Jeebus. That's why we're announcing this decision in December. It's a Christmas present to sweet little fake baby Jeebus. Yeah. Well, one wonders how the women of this country will respond to this, and the men who support their right to control their own bodies.
I hope the medical insurance gets better.
And while the Supreme Court issued this out of, you know, Texas, it's worth, you know, the first Civil War started with shots being fired by some treasonous South Carolinians at a federal installation in Charleston Harbor. This one isn't, well, it's like Joy said earlier, and there are Americans who'll tell you they don't live in a war zone. They've been, you know, the fetus fetishists have been shooting up abortion clinics, bombing abortion clinics, assassinating doctors who perform reproductive health care for years. But in this case, you know, this opening salvo was fired in Texas. But they'll make, believe you me, they will make more of this than simply the instant case. And so look for state legislatures to pick and choose among Supreme Court decisions that they don't like and simply overturn them through an act of the goddamn legislature. For people who live in places like Alabama, and other states whose legislatures will seat themselves come January. This is a frightening prospect indeed. I know what the fights are going to be here about here in Alabama. I know what one of the primary fight will be, and I know that primary one of those. I know that same issue will be a hot button for Republican legislatures all over the Confederacy and outside the Confederacy. The new Confederacy, if you will, your Idahos and your Missouris and whatnot. We won't go into it because I know y'all get tired of hearing about the issue, but it's going to be a big. Nullification of rights in this country. Ann's boy Neil said that, well, you know, the little ladies can file a lawsuit to try to stop the law, but... Well, there's an when you have your cup of coffee in law school, you learn all these ancient equitable maxims. Things that in misty days gone by were said to control how the court would attempt to keep manifest injustices from happening. I bet you Billable Rick and Steve in New York and Darlene in Connecticut and anybody else who had a legal education already know what I'm going for here. Equity will not permit a wrong without a remedy. Well, that one got taken out behind the barn and beaten with an axe handle today.
Oh, you know, the little women that can go and they can file for injunctive relief. Silly little fluff-headed things that they are, the little women. But see, that's bullshit for one reason in particular. Filing for injunctive relief doesn't matter if the judge just says, y'all need to sit down and shut up and let us men folk control your uteruses like God intended. Go away. The wizard does not wish to see you now. And it becomes immediately a wrong without a remedy. Mm-hmm. And like I said yesterday, to think that it was only 111 years ago that every state in the Union finally had a law on the books banning a woman's right to do as she chose with her pregnancy. Yeah. Justice Sotomayor, as noted earlier, said plainly that this thing should have been dealt with months ago. But, the five fools who let it stand, I guess in the opinion, it makes it sound like they, think that, well, this is just one of those little hiccups. That's just Texas. Not realizing that this hiccup can spread like a virus all over the country. And that these, and SB8s will be proliferating through South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia Stan, Mississippi Stan, Louisiana Stan. No doubt Oklahoma Stan in short order. And one of the more interesting aspects of the opinion is that Ann's boy Neil went so far as to explain to the judicial terrorists and maggots how he would approve legislation that continued to do this kind of evil. One of the better pieces of analysis that I ran across today was to be had over at Slate by Mark Joseph Stern. He said this is gonna provide a blueprint for whatever right-wing legislatures may decide that they would, whatever kind of mischief they would like to create. It's worrisome. Terrifying. Hundreds of women, as was noted, have been forced by the legislature of Texas into compulsory birth. That is so hateful, so heinous, so Handmaid's Tale. And will Texas women rise up? Well, way too many of them are going to various and sundry Baptist and evangelical herpetological parks and theological party rooms. I mean, that's what these churches are.
that, and consider the thorough gerrymandering of the Texas legislative districts, it may be impossible to undo this at the ballot box, which makes you wonder where we actually are. It is, Mr. Stern wrote, "There's a vast chasm between the two blocks in this case. The five most conservative justices appear to view SB 8 as a one-off, a desperate attempt to evade a decision, Roe versus Wade, that they themselves probably view as illegitimate. The four other justices see SB 8 as a direct threat to the Supreme Court's authority to say what the law is by shielding constitutional liberties from state infringement." So do it. Do it. Let's get some legislatures out there who want to take this seriously and show places like Texas what it really means. If you can ban one constitutional right, you can ban another. I mean, think about it. Under the ruling as it was handed down today, if South Carolina stand gets a hankering, they can declare,
because you know it's not in the original Constitution that was envisioned by the originalist framers of the Constitution, and just get rid of the 13th Amendment.
Yeah. Right. Or how about the Due Process and Equal Protection Clauses? They're not in the original Constitution either, baby. Theocratic dictatorship has got its party dress and its heels on, and it is going out dancing. No doubt about it. So I hope maybe we'll be talking about that at some length when we get to the front porch portion of the program. Bear in mind that when Ann's boy Neil, writing an opinion, said that women's health care providers can file for injunctive relief, he circumscribed it with so many ifs, ands, and buts that it severely limits the circumstances under which they can even do that. Not so limiting, however. Not so limiting was his advice to the right wing of this country in his little how-to manual for establishing full-on theocracy. Stern wrote, "Gorsuch has given legislators a roadmap to ensure they can fully insulate their legislation from federal court review. He and his hard-right colleagues appear to believe that blue states won't have the spine to deploy these tricks against rights favored by conservatives, like the right to bear arms." Again, something we've been talking about here for months. These legislators in right-wing states now have a blueprint for keeping their unconstitutional laws out of federal court indefinitely. The majority has disabled a time bomb and then given Texas instructions on which wires to reconnect. Again, if you'd like to read the whole piece, it's worth your effort, and it's over at Slate. The headline reads, "The Supreme Court's Texas abortion decision is a disaster for constitutional rights. In the guise of a compromise decision, five justices gave states a roadmap to nullify fundamental liberties." What about right-wing dominated states where there are ongoing protests and efforts to stop toxic, poisonous thing like pipelines? Yep. Even though the Supreme Court has not been the friendliest in the world, on these issues, you know, Louisiana is already out there trying to criminalize such protest behavior and has so far been fairly successful. there are people doing time in North Dakota on felony raps for having done nothing more than trying to protect fresh water from a pipeline that crosses the Oglala Aquifer that is not might leak, will leak, and already has leaked, and poses a vast health risk to God knows how many millions of Americans. Oh, well. Yeah. Oh, well. Because for it to be anything else but oh, well, the American people have to rise up against this shit. And, of course, since we're in Texas, let's stay in Texas for a minute. You know that the Texas legislature earlier this year passed a law that bans teaching critical race theory in schools. Now, just as a matter of review, we will recall that critical race theory is not taught in elementary schools, junior highs, middle schools, or high schools, and even undergraduate programs in colleges. Critical race theory is an upper-level, graduate-level concept that master's degree and PhD degree students have to contend with. And another way to describe critical race theory is, of course, to call it what it is: American history, plain and simple. But no, they're not going to have any critical race theory in Texas. And so one creep in that state, a Republican member of the House of Representatives named Matt Krause, sent out a list of over 800 books to school superintendents in Texas and demanded to know if they could be found in the libraries of the schools. And so now teachers there in Texas are complaining that they're being accused of poisoning the minds of God-fearing Texas cheering. Corrupting the youth. That's another way of saying poisoning the minds of Texas children. Corrupting the youth. You've heard that phrase before, haven't you? I know you have. Because that was one of the charges upon which Socrates was handed the cup of hemlock. Corrupting the youth and denying the gods. You know, Zeus, Athena, Apollo, that bunch. And they killed probably the most brilliant thinker of the golden age of Athenian wisdom and Athenian philosophy, because he was teaching young men not to just take it at face value and on as whole cloth what was handed them. And so here we are. Again, corrupting the youth. Yeah. And I need to send out thank yous. Ralph's finished off Billable Rick's challenge. That's huge. Thank you, Ralph. Steve in New York jumped in and said, meeting Billable's challenge. So it's doubly met, and was it? We are now down below $1,300 for fundraising to finish the week so that I can go on paying bills and keep things going back up West Virginia way. Stop it, Robin, says Lee in New York. All Republicans know that the original Constitution includes the Second Amendment. The writers just misplaced the page. Well, yeah, that is part of the first 10, You know, those were the amendments passed by the original framers of the Constitution. Everything else is at hazard. And so to get back to Texas, Sherry Mills, a Southlake school trustee, interviewed by Michael Powell at the New York Times, said a lot of our teachers are petrified. The really good teachers, if they're near retirement, they're leaving. Safraz Ali, also interviewed by Powell, said teachers have no idea what they are and are not allowed to teach. It's like you're walking into a dark room and have no idea what's going on. Safraz Ali said that he called up various and sundry Texas lawmakers and said, could you at least give us a clue as to what critical race theory means?
Well, son, I don't know what quite to tell you except to say that critical race theory means anything that we can use to get our mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking maggot constituents hopping mad and keep them hopping mad so they'll keep us in our phony baloney jobs.
Now, he didn't even get that much. Safraz Ali got nothing. Bupkis. Because there is no definition of critical race theory. At least not the way the Texas legislature envisions it. It's just a wedge issue to keep the rubes in a state of high dudgeon. I wonder, you can't help but wonder, I wonder if the critical race theory ban forbids the forbids teachers from talking about a Texas holiday, Juneteenth. That day when, way, way late, enslaved people in Texas were finally informed that they were free. I guess that's critical race theory too, isn't it? Sure. As to Mr. Ali, Steve in New York said, ponder his statement, teachers don't know what they are and aren't allowed to teach. Allowed to teach. Right. Thank you, Henry. Henry got us further down the road. We're moving on toward the $1,200 mark as we try to work on a Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle. Thank you, Henry. That gets us down to 1205 to go toward a community made miracle here on this Friday on the Front Porch. And of course, like I said, if you want to participate in the Friday on the Front Porch conversation, run on over to headon.live. Well, you can walk if you want, or you can just use the computer. And there's a button at the top of the page that you can use to get into the conversation. How about that? This is handy. Consider how Texas now stacks up against Iran. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, even the dirty, filthy mullahs in Iran allow 16 weeks before saying no to abortion. So Mississippi is just 1 week less than being as enlightened as Iran, whereas Texas is fully 10 weeks less enlightened than Iran. Jesus. They really do want to be a theocratic state. It's astonishing. Yeah. And Steve pointing out, just wait until they come after Chevron and completely gut every regulation and answer. Yeah, probably not that far out there. And Steve, anticipating the same thing I was thinking, said, assume that abortion providers do bring an action to enjoin the law in Texas. What the district court may grant, the Fifth Circuit would surely take away. Isn't it time we just acknowledge reality and start calling our nation the GSA, the Gilead States of America? Or maybe the Confederate States of America? Who won? You know? Really? Kind of hard to tell sometimes. And today in Hissies by Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball. She's now mad at David Brooks. Oh my God. She doesn't like David Brooks. Imagine that. I've got something in common with Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball. I think I need to go and shower and gargle with bleach. Yeah, David Brooks. that delightful fogey. And Charlie Pierce, having for years talked about David Brooks's membership in the old fogies club, where his golden retriever Moral Hazard hangs out in the overstuffed Chesterfield chairs. Yeah, David Brooks. Basically, in a column, I don't know people who still read him, but someone did, said that Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball is the death of conservatism. And this goes to show you just how goddamn dumb David Brooks is. But because the fact of the matter is, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball is the logical extension of conservatism. She is conservatism's wildest and fondest dream. Someone who absolutely despises government in all of its forms. Utterly ignorant, devoid of reason, and merely grunting right-wing platitudes. Once again, she was to be found on the program, I think the program hosted by that guy who smells like old, who looks like old hot dog water smells. And having been told that she had been accused of the death of conservatism. Oh, and by the way, thanks kindly to our pal Troy. Thank you, Troy, for jumping in and becoming a Patreon subscriber. That's tremendous. We haven't had a brand new Patreon subscriber forever. Thank you, Troy. I know Troy. Great guy. But anyway, Marjorie Trader Gangrene Cueball.
On Wednesday, during an interview with Steve Bannon, Representative Marjorie...
I was right. She was talking to the man who looks like old hot dog water smells. And here in the conniption...
about is things they know nothing about, and it's more lies, and it's more attacks, and it's more just fake news. Here's the real message they need to understand. I represent the American people. These are the same people.
No, you silly twit. You represent, I think, the 14th congressional district in Georgistan, which is wildly different from representing the American people, unless the only American people happen to reside in the 14th congressional district of Georgistan. You certainly don't represent me. You bumbling idiot.
That they look down on. These are the same people that they forget about. These are the same people they can't even relate to because they're so stuck up, because they're so highly educated.
They're stuck up. She's speaking truth to America right from seventh grade study hall. They're a bunch of stuck ups. That's what they are.
Educated, and because they think they're so much better than everyone.
Yeah,
so
they think they're better. Yeah, they've never had an affair with their gym bunny boyfriend. How can they know what America is like?
So they don't really matter, Steve. They honestly don't matter. It's the American people that matter. And I'm happy to be the face of the American people. And I'm happy to continue to come up to Washington, D.C.
Oh, Lord God, if she's the face of the American people badly need plastic surgery. And she's going to come up to New York.
And tell Washington. This town and the people here exactly how real people feel. Because it's the real people, it's the real American people that pay the taxes in this country. And it's the real people all over.
The real people in America that pay the taxes? I mean, really? You come from Georgia, a taker state. And you're complaining about who pays the tax. You're talking about you know who pays the taxes in America? Oh, honey. Why don't you just sashay up to Massachusetts or New York or California and try to explain some of that about you know who really pays the taxes in America? Let us know if you get out with your gym approved sportswear intact.
Over the country, that their voices and their opinions matter, and they're sick and tired and fed up with the elites, and they're sick and tired and fed up of being the forgotten man and woman who the...
Oh, God Almighty, we're back to 1968 and the forgotten, poor, forgotten white America.
Country club Republicans with their beautiful preppy sweater vest have failed because...
Marge, baby... Honey, sister, Marge, you might want to look across there at the guy who's hosting you. That dude dresses like Spalding from Caddyshack. Three or four popped collared polo shirts, really? And you're talking about country club Republicans? No, honey, you're talking to one.
It's those soft, weak Republicans that held hands with Democrats for decades and decades, sold our country out with NAFTA, sent all of our jobs overseas, caused our factories in small towns to get shut down, caused alcoholism, drug abuse, depression, failed marriages, and caused traditional families to fall apart and small
Is she speaking from experience or something? Well, you know, we went go all the way through this long miserable diatribe, and she eventually gets to this one magic moment where, talking about the accusation that she's the death of conservatism, she responds, and we all know this is just one of those little hang-ups, this is just a verbal tick with me, I can't help it, it goes through me like a dose of salts, like shit through a goose. She declared, I could care less. And as a practitioner of the art of word knowing, and I know this, it kind of crawls all over our buddy Horst in Taiwan every time he hears me say it, but it's just one of those. I could care, just to review, I could care less means that girl cares. She cares. And you know, maybe it's the goddess of irony tweaking her on her little pink roid rage tomato nose. But she cares. And nobody will say to her, honey, I could care less means that he got to you. It's I couldn't care less. Oh, well, don't anybody smarten up the chump, because we desperately need these little moments in these dark times. Yeah, exactly. Ralph says, like you said, Margie's talking about Steve Bannon and Donald Trump, the ultimate country club Republican. Her God Emperor owns country clubs. I mean, my God, Doral? Mar-a-Lardass? Bed Monster? Tiny Bed Monster, from what Stormy Daniels said, but right. The real people of America are making $7.25 an hour because the Republicans made sure of it. Yeah, and Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. That from our pal Randy Bradar. Thanks, Randy. Matt in San Francisco. Subject line, the face. If she's the face of America, America needs to learn to walk doing a handstand. Ooh, that's good. That's quality. Yes. virtual cowbell for you, Matt. Did she say duty head too? Steve wants to know. I couldn't take her long. I couldn't take the audio long enough to find out. Yeah, that or poopy head or something like that. Yeah. Jesus, these people. Wow, where did the filler lobster go? No, Christopher, she did not say I've got fake babes. No, she said this is fake news. Although you get a virtual cowbell too for working in the fake boobs joke. Brother Deacon Ace, this is, you mean to tell me you don't use old hot dog water to perk up your stale hot dog buns? Old hot dog water is too circuitous. I like to call it moist maker. Oh, please, can we just not use the word moist for a little while? Is that too much to ask? Yeah. Let's see here. Let me do this and do this. Billable Rick says, anti-critical race theory law, legal theories for Texas teachers to challenge that law. It seems to me that depending on whether real, i.e. non-Trump appointed judges, are assigned to their cases, the anti-Texas critical race theory law could be challenged on at least two grounds. First, it violates the First Amendment rights of Texas teachers by censoring what they may or may not say or teach in the classroom. However, First Amendment rights can be circumscribed in the schoolhouse context, and an employee's free speech rights may be limited by the employer, albeit a government employer has less latitude to limit their employees' rights. Second, the law is void for vagueness because the Texas legislature has failed to define the term critical race theory and what specific teaching topics fall within or without such prohibition. I would suspect that the void for vagueness challenge would be more likely successful than the straight First Amendment challenge. I think so, too. But bear this in mind, please, Billable Rick. You being a high-minded ivory tower lawyer and one of them mean ones, you know, a litigator, slightly more vicious than an alligator, the point may not be what's actually taught in Texas schools. The point is to use the court system as a vehicle for the maggot outrage machine. So what I mean by that is the Texas legislature gets their little law hailed into court, and a court overturns it for being vague. Maggots all over Texas then howl, "See, the court done overturned our clear and plainly written statute because they want our children to be taught to hate America." And then more donor dollars pour in and pour in and pour in. As the late, great Bart Kopp once pointed out, when someone makes a mistake that results in them making lots and lots of money, expect them to continue to make that mistake over and over again. God, I miss Bart Kopp. Does that have any resonance for y'all? Because it certainly seems like a viable theory. So I've sent the message. Sparky has started the Friday on the Front Porch call. And hopefully we'll be, let's see, let me run over there and make sure that we're connected. Do you have everybody muted? Is this an actual thing, Sparky?
No, I'm not muted.
Well, no, I mean, you were telling me you had to run around and mute people and stuff like that. I just wanted to see if we were...
No. Unmute myself.
Yeah. So our...
Because this new Skype opens different than the old one. I can't get used to it.
No, mine opens weirdly, too, when the call starts. But I'm at least in speaker view now, so that helps some. How are you?
I got a tremendous view of the room here, chat room, and who's on Skype. You probably saw the picture earlier.
No, I didn't.
Oh. Well, I'm on the 55-inch TV.
Oh, everybody must just be huge.
Wow, the screen's huge. And then I'm in the same room as Steve's Alexa that he gave me. You know what I found out Alexa will do? Alexa, I need more cowbell.
Sounds like you've got the fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
Beautiful. Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
I got an auxiliary speaker system hooked up to in the living room here.
Sparky, have you asked her to fart yet?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it.
Thank you. I can't thank you enough.
Some of the other things he asked it the other night, it wouldn't respond properly. It was funny.
Yeah, she was. And Jeremy says you got to train it. He posted a video of him turning on and off his light.
Yeah, Jeremy got him one of those RGB smart light bulbs.
Yeah, he said I had just triggered his Alexa for cowbell from 60 feet away.
Anybody watch Robert Dole's funeral today?
No, I've been a little busy. I mean, watching somebody do work around my house. And I had all my trees trimmed yesterday. And he didn't have anybody to run a shredder, a chipper thing. So he's back today chipping everything and cleaning everything up. So if I hear his leaf blower start up again, he's about got my place done.
He's got to do
stuff on my neighbor's house.
Our really awesome president gave a really heartfelt, warm, honorable speech today. At his funeral.
It's because he's classy.
Well, it's
not like the previous guy, the former guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, good thing he didn't die when Trump was in office.
Well, that and the fact that Bob Dole and Joe Biden are really good friends.
Yeah, I know.
Bob Dole was one of the last good Republicans that would reach across the aisle and work with the other side.
That's true. He wasn't as much of a miscreant as Newt was.
No, Newt or Mitch McConnell.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. And did you see who Mitch McConnell was sitting by today at the funeral? He was sitting by Chuck Schumer.
That's interesting.
See, Ted Cruz was sitting there, the only one without a mask?
Yeah.
That's what I heard read on the on Twitter.
Yeah, and the only president still alive that weren't there was Carter and Obama.
I wonder why not Obama.
I don't know. Tom Hanks was there.
I'd give Jimmy Carter any. Let me rephrase that. I can understand why Jimmy Carter's not out and about.
Yeah, I can too. He's not a spring chicken anymore.
Oh, isn't he like 96 or 97?
Yeah.
He just got over being real sick.
And I don't think Obama wanted to travel because of COVID, and I don't blame him.
This is Bob Dole, and I approve my casket.
It took a minute, but we managed to get Cleopatra over to her chaise longue on her barge, so I am now reclining.
Hey, Sparky, it's got the wrong date at the top. It says December 3rd. It should say December 10th.
Well, Rob, I've got a little bone to pick with you, actually with Terry. And this has sort of to do with geology questions.
I had a feeling you were going to come back with that. I think I have the answer.
Well, I did a little bit of research, and Mauna Kea, from its base to its top, is 33,500 feet tall. And if you want to measure from base to top, because of the Marianas Trench, Guam is 37,037 feet tall. But if you really want to talk about the tallest mountain, it sort of depends on your reference. Now, if you want to figure closest to the moon as being the tallest mountain, then you need to get to Mount Chimborazo, which is 26,565 feet closer to the moon than Mauna Kea or Everest.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. Thanks, Roger.
And that has to do with Mount Chimborazo being right on the equator. And apparently at the equator, the surface of the Earth is approximately 26,000 feet bulged out at the equator. So anyhow, tidbits of trivia.
Roger, I appreciate the trivia, but it sounds like you might need a Sherpa to pronounce the words.
Yeah, well.
Where the hell is Chimborazo?
I believe it's an Ecuadorian mountain.
It's one of the Andes.
Yeah. Now, total change of subject. We're all hearing that the Build Back Better plan and all that would be limiting insulin to $35 per month for people who need insulin. What I have not been able to find out, and I'm hoping somebody in here might know, is the government going to subsidize the cost to bring it down to $35 a month per user, or are they going to force the manufacturers to take a hit and not make so much profit? And I haven't been able to find that out.
I hope it's the latter, because insulin was, first of all, its inventor, like, he didn't even patent it, right?
He patented it but gave it away.
Patented and gave it away, right? So yeah. There's just no excuse, to make really just minimal profit on the production of insulin. You know?
Well, to me,
$35 is too much.
Well, that's a different argument. But the Affordable Care Act, true, it cost people less money to buy insurance through the Affordable Care Act than it did to buy it on the open market. But that was because the federal government was subsidizing the premiums paid to insurance companies. And that's how it managed to pass, was the insurance companies didn't take any hits because the federal government guaranteed their profits.
Mm-hmm.
And if this insulin price thing is simply another payoff by the federal government to the drug industry to make sure they maintain their profits, it's just another goddamn boondoggle.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And being a function of government, and boondoggles being a specialty of government, wouldn't you bet that it's probably a subsidy thing?
Yeah.
That'd be my guess. I think I would say it's a subsidy.
That's the only way you're probably going to get cinema on board. Or Mansion.
Well, okay, exactly. I mean, it's pharmaceutical. It's Mansion. Mansion's daughter, Heather Bresch, with the bullshit master's degree, is recently retired from Mylan and probably has a portfolio that's millions and millions of dollars deep. So what do you think he's going to want?
Yeah, the cinema, that's her coffers are full from the pharmaceutical donor.
Oh, Lord, yes.
And how old is Mansion's daughter? It's very nice to know that she's
I think maybe she's 51 tops.
Oh. Yeah, congratulations. Can we throw a party?
I don't think we could afford the kind of party that she likes.
Well, does any member of the CEO class truly retire, or do they just move on to sit on boards and go to four meetings a year for $500,000?
Good work if you can get it.
Yeah.
So I have something interesting to share with everyone. President Biden was in Kansas City on Wednesday, and he was talking about the Build Back Better plan. And Congressman Emanuel Cleaver and from Missouri and my Congresswoman Sharice Davis was there, and they were talking before he came up there, and he was saying that Missouri is going to get $900 million of the $1.9 trillion, and Kansas is going to get $400 million for infrastructure and broadband.
Well, what's going to be really funny out of that is when we get to watch all the Republicans scrambling to say, you know, I brought you this money here that we're going to use in the great state of Missouri, when, you know, they voted against it.
Yep.
Because hypocrisy knows no end with these maggots.
But wouldn't it be nice if everybody in the media goes, excuse me, Senator, that date, blah, 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 you voted against this. Now, how come you're claiming credit for it?
Well, what you need is for his, whoever the asshole in question is, their opponent needs to be able to run ads to that effect.
Problem is that in Missouri, you got Governor Mike Parsons, which he's a Trumper. You got Josh Hawley, which he's a Trumper and he's an insurrectionist, and you got Senator Roy Blunt. The only Democrat in Missouri is former Kansas City Mayor, now Congressman Emanuel Cleaver.
Good man, Representative Cleaver.
Oh yeah, he used to be a pastor too before he was the mayor.
But you shouldn't have to use campaign funds to ask questions of a candidate that the media should be asking the questions.
Well, but waiting for the media to ask those questions is going to be a long wait, because what happens is even when you run across a member of the media who asks that question, the Republican will say, well, I can't hear you. Oh, I'm sorry, I got to go. I got to take a vote. I mean, I've seen it happen too many times.
And not only that, the editor of the paper or the news magazine or whatever it is will end up firing the reporter because they got too uppity.
Right, because access is the coin of the realm. And if you piss off the politician in question, then your beat reporter has no beat anymore, and so they need to beat it out the door.
It's a vicious cycle. And somehow, some way, we got to change it.
This is interesting. It's a curiously timed piece of trivia, but do I recall correctly that John Bridavo's congressman, maybe you'll remember this, Sparky, John Bridavo's congressman is Mike Cloud. Am I right in that?
I believe so. You are, Robin.
This just landed because I get all of the
the burblings of Nitwit Nero.
Congressman Michael Cloud is doing a phenomenal job serving the incredible people of Texas. He doesn't even know what district he's in. So he's the incredible people of Texas. He fights hard to support our farmers and vets, secure our border, defend our Second Amendment, and hold Joe Biden and the radical left accountable. Michael is a strong supporter of our America First agenda and has my complete and total endorsement.
Complete and total endorsement are all capitalized, by the way, just because, you know, he's fucking illiterate. But I'm sure John will be tickled to know.
You have to take a second to start up the Calliope music before you ever.
I didn't bring the Calliope with me. I can't. That's one of the reasons I can't wait to get home.
Oh no!
On a more positive note, in Donnie's world, he's in deep, deep, deep shit.
Well, that's what people keep saying, but we've been saying that for 6 years now, and I can't even see so much as a little brown stain on the bottom of his shoe.
He got told this week by two federal judges, no, you do not have executive privilege. And New York told him that if he does not show up for his deposition, they will come and get him and they will drag him in there in handcuffs.
If he's a good boy and shows up. Oh, by the way, oh, this is a virtual cowbell that I missed earlier. I think it was Ralph said, was it Christopher? Did she say, yeah, it was Christopher. Did she say that's fake news or that's them's fake boobs? Steve was quick on the draw on that and responded, I'm not sure of what she said, but I do know them's fake brains. Oh, that's quality. That's quality.
Robin, you do a very good interpretation of Trump, by the way.
Oh, it's complete bullshit. It's just a mashup of Bill Murray's character. It's mostly Bill Murray's character in Caddyshack.
Here he is, the Cinderella story. Oh, he got all of that one.
Because I always thought that Trump sounded like Carl the Assistant Greenskeeper.
Yeah, he does in some ways. You're right.
Oh, by the way, going back to the SB8 decision today, one of the ways that Ann's boy Neil performed his little skullduggerous legerdemain was to say that,
in this preliminary posture,
I'm still doing Trump. In this preliminary posture, the ultimate merits question, whether SB8 is consistent with the federal constitution, is not before the court, nor is the wisdom of SB8 as a matter of public policy. Horseshit. The whole thing was before the court. The court could have dealt with it as the court needed to. But then again, you know, if this court was... Oh, if this court was in 1861, they'd say, well, you know, we need to see where them cannonballs land and see if they actually strike Fort Sumter before we can do anything about it. This is strictly procedural is what this is.
Yeah.
Hey, Robin, do we know if the marmalade moron ever met with the Dalai Lama?
I don't think so. I hope not. Why? Is something tickling your brain?
Well, no, I was just, you were talking about Carl, the great groundskeeper.
Yeah. And so the Lama says to me, on your deathbed, you will have perfect consciousness. So I got that going for me, which is good. And I said, hey, Lama, how about something for the effort?
Exactly.
I'm sorry, I'm just, you know, I love that character and I love that movie.
I like it. That he's basically going to have to testify or plead the fifth.
Is it a criminal matter?
In his, well, it's
well no, he can take the fifth in a civil matter, sure. But I don't expect him to do it. He'll sit there and bluff bluster and deny, and basically dare anybody to prove him wrong.
Well, but if he does that, that's perjuring himself, so.
Yeah, is it? I mean, perjury has to be charged, and once charged, perjury has to be proven. This is his modus operandi for his entire adult life.
I think she'll finally prove it and show that what a slime ball he really is. I mean, if they do this, it's fraud. So, you know, if he lies, it's... I mean, even though it's a civil action, he's still lying on the stand. So.
But we know perjury is an impeachable offense.
Going for a third one, huh, Roger?
No. I'm just saying that to say that lying under oath is no biggie, which Fox News would undoubtedly push out. But then all we have to do is go back to Bill Clinton, who got impeached for lying under oath. He didn't get impeached for the blowjob. He got impeached for lying about it.
That's right.
And if she shuts him down and then he doesn't have cash to come in and cash to his name, hey, that's a great thing for everyone.
Well, the one thing I've been listening about is that the criminal and civil are parallel investigations in New York. And anything exposed in one can be used by the other.
Yep.
And the first one they're dealing with is the civil on inflating the value for loans and deflating it for taxes. And so that creates fraud in the financial industry, and he can be hit with tremendous civil penalties. But when he gets called in to testify in the civil case, even if he lies, he doesn't go to jail. But if he lies in a criminal case, he does.
Yep.
But if any of the testimony he gives...
Hold on, Roger. There's a couple of things here. Perjury in a civil case is still a crime.
It's still a crime and you can go to jail for it?
You're damn right you can.
Okay.
Secondly, while the cases can track parallel, because the standards of proof are different between the two, just because you prove something in a civil case does not mean that it becomes res judicata in a criminal case, because the standards of proof in a civil case is like 50.00001% more likely than not, whereas in a criminal case you have to rise to the level of beyond a reasonable doubt, which is like way higher.
Yes, but the testimony given in the civil case can be used in the criminal side.
I think the court would look askew or askance at that, especially if the witness is still available.
Well, that's what they're saying.
Okay,
you could use it to impeach. You could use prior testimony.
Right, but not as direct evidence.
Correct. You cannot use prior testimony. You can only use it for impeachment purposes. You can't use it for what it says, because in the end it's hearsay.
Precisely.
I mean, there may be an exception if it's some sort of admission, but in the end it's hearsay, which is why you can use it to impeach, not for it actually being true. Which usually that's a weird distinction that only someone who has had the law scramble their brains thinks is meaningful.
Well, no, it's not that hard to wrap your head around. Let's just posit this. Let's say there's a civil case and a criminal case, and let's say Nitwit Nero testifies
in deposition in the civil case, and then some, and then some, for some, you know, miracle happens, and he's indicted and charged in a criminal proceeding. Well, let's say he chooses not to take the stand in his own defense. You can't defeat his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination by bringing in his testimony from the civil case.
I understand that. But my point here is that if he testifies to one thing in the civil case and then testifies to something different in the criminal case, cannot he be asked kind of straight up, well, which is it? Is it A in the civil case or is it B?
No. You can only use the prior statement to impeach, to question his credibility.
In other words, he has to offer some testimony that is at odds with his previous statements.
Yeah, and that's kind of the weird irony, is if he were to testify consistent with his prior testimony, you couldn't bring it in at all. Why would you want to?
Well, I'm glad I'm not sitting in his shoes trying to figure all that shit out.
Can I tell you a little secret, Roger?
Go.
He's not worried. He's not worried. He's not worried a nickel's worth. He has never been touched all his life, and he expects to go to his grave the same way.
Yeah, but what if it happens that actually it comes and it.
He'll still game the system so that he never sees a day in jail. Because that's how a two-tiered justice system works.
I mean, I think it's, I don't know, I kind of think that it's going to backfire on him and he's going to say something stupid just because of the dementia and everything else, and he's going to think, oh, I got this perfectly in the bag, and cling, nope, you're done.
Let me, if I may, caveat what Robin is saying. He is not afraid. He thinks he's smarter than everybody else. Were a jury to find him guilty in a criminal proceeding, I don't think, first of all, he would even understand what just happened, because he's so confident that he's untouchable.
Yeah.
However, if someone were to explain to him, no, you're guilty, I think that alone would make his head explode. And the reason I say that is if anyone's ever seen any interviews with Mary Trump, Mary, or should I call her Dr. Trump, has consistently said the worst thing for him is to lose. That's why he settles all of these cases that when people sue him, because he's so terrified of losing. At least when he settles, he can say, I didn't lose.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's another wrinkle to that, too. Someone mentioned dementia. It remains undiagnosed as of this point. But if that should be the case, then, you know, remember, this is a guy who fancies himself to have all the power and wiles and savvy of a mob boss. And if it comes right down to it and there's criminal jeopardy attached and it's looking like his fat's in the fire, then guess who's going to get dementia and, you know, be in a wheelchair with the blanket on his lap and his head lolling and drooling and shit like that, and not have to testify.
Hey, he's not going to testify. He's going to flout the civil deposition subpoena. Watch. There's no way he's testifying, everybody. No way. you know, he's going to try to thumb his nose at the court like he's thumbed his nose at Congress and all of his...
Right. You're right, Billable, because remember, the ruling that we just had was from the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Was it the Federal Circuit?
Yeah. Don't you think, though...
So that means he gets to go up and all those little assholes in Washington who owe him their jobs get to say, oh, you know, no, it would be unconstitutional to have to... And just make something up out of whole cloth like they did today. See how it works?
You may tell you what? I don't agree, and I'll tell you why. That's not even necessary. I think the safest thing for them to do is to just not take the case and then basically say, okay, if he's good at anything, it's obfuscating and delaying. So what does it really matter what the Supreme Court says here? Number one. Number two, and I think another reason for the court to not even take the case is I think it will eventually come out fairly soon. They've got the documents anyway.
Yeah, Mark Meadows produced all kinds of
documents. They've got the documents.
Randy Radar points out he'll hide out in Florida. I don't know if he can evade justice that way on a federal subpoena.
People would pick you and me up on a federal if
yeah, there'd just be yeah. No, I don't think
where he's at anyway.
But Trump facing consequences, no coming in from Matt in San Francisco. I don't think he'll ever be held to account. People like him never do. My only peace comes from knowing the man is miserable and makes those around him miserable every waking moment of every day. It's not much, but at least I won't be disappointed if nothing ever happens to him. That's a most serene approach, Matt.
I have a question. Don't you think, though, after a while, the district is going to get tired of his hemming and hawing and keep jacking up the, you know, okay, hey, we had it set for like January 7th. Now it's going to be January 4th. Now we're going to make sure that he comes in, blah, blah, blah. You know, if he doesn't come in, we're going to go pick him up. You know, things, I mean, they're going to get tired of this.
How are they going to go pick him up?
They know where he's at anyway.
How are they going to do it? They can't just go there and get him.
They're set with Secret Service. All they have to do is ask the FBI to go pick him up.
Yeah, why can't they, Steve?
I think, first of all, there's a jurisdictional question. I also think that...
Had all of his businesses in New York. Why the hell can't
he? But he's not in New York.
It doesn't matter. He can still be extradited.
Really? You think Florida would do that?
Federal marshals can't go get him like the
one-armed bandit? I don't think DeSantis would allow it.
Hold on, Steve.
DeSantis doesn't have a say. DeSantis doesn't have a say in this because it's not state to state. This is federal.
I understand that.
So it's not like there's a habeas involved.
I understand that, but I could see DeSantis saying, "Okay, everyone, I'm going to order the state patrol to stand out in front of wherever he is." And dare them to get into a shooting match. Mm. There was an opinion that I believe the Federal Circuit or the D.C. Circuit, I think it was the D.C. Circuit, one of the judges, I think, wrote something along those lines. That scenario came up. Sorry if I don't have any faith. I've been in court too many times to have zero faith in judges. Zero. None. Nada. The only way you win in court is to cheat. Sorry.
I just, I, I, you know, my thing is you still got to kind of have that faith because, I mean, they know where he's at. He's the ex-president. They know where the hell he's at.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not denying that.
You know, they just say to federal government, you know, or the U.S. Marshals, go pick him up, handcuff him, take him into custody because he's going to New York to testify in this blah, blah, blah. And
why would he go to New York to testify in the state action?
Well, he has to testify in the state action before he testifies before the committee.
Why does he have to do anything?
Just so you know,
show up.
Great, the judge orders him to show up. Who's going to go get it?
State court judge orders. The federal marshals are not going to enforce it. That's just the way it works. And there's no way, there's nobody to enforce that order from the state court. The state court can't go. The New York State court can't hire somebody to go arrest his ass in Mar-a-Lago. If it's a federal court order, that's a different matter.
Yeah, but what if it comes down to a federal, you know, because he basically is.
Wait a second.
Ripping off.
About the state action. You're talking about the state court. There's two separate things here. There's no way that Florida would extradite him. It wouldn't happen.
It would basically screw you, New York State Court Judge.
Yeah, of course. You don't think DeSantis would do that?
Yeah, of course he would.
Of course he would. I'm not being cynical as much as I'm being realistic. Probably a little bit of both.
I guess cynicism based on experience, right?
Okay, I'll buy that. But, you know, that my cynicism is based upon my disdain for courts and judges. My realism is the fact that DeSantis, you know, is in his pocket. I could see the only interesting thing is if DeSantis gets too popular and Trump throws him under the bus, DeSantis could see it as a way of getting Trump out of the way to run for president in 2024.
Yeah, there's some tension between those two guys because of DeSantis' popularity among Republicans.
That would be spectacular.
That would be great.
It would. That would.
There's nothing better than watching these sons of bitches fight each other.
Yeah, it's great. Or almost hang each other.
The year to come. I'm looking so forward to 2022. John Budavo, it just makes you want to put a swirly straw in your bottle of rot gut tequila, doesn't it?
I mean to tell you, I'm looking forward to the freaking entertainment by itself.
And before you got here, John,
the new year, and then let's get down to freaking business.
John, before you got here, I should let you know that Nitwit Nero has issued an endorsement of your member of Congress.
Ah, oh yeah,
isn't that Michael
McCloud?
Yeah.
Got an honorable mention from the orange asshole.
I heartily endorse
another him. Good reason not to vote for that son of a bitch.
Exactly.
Treasonous asshole. My congressman's one of them suck ass that just is trying to climb. He's a Trump maggot. You know, when it crawls up down his ass and stays there. He's a treasonous asshole. He showed himself on January 6th. And that's who he's going to try to hang his hat on, is his help. And you know, Texas being gerrymandered the way he is, he has a shot. It all depends on the turnout here in Texas, and it's cranking, baby. You know,
I don't hardly much room up there with all these senators running for Senate in Alabama.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of Texas gerrymandering, John, what are your thoughts on the Merrick Garland lawsuit against the Texas gerrymandering?
Good for him. Good for him. It needs to be done. The redistricting map the Republicans just did, you know, I think Merrick Garland laid it out pretty clear when he was talking about the increase in population here in Texas and how 95% of that increase was in Hispanic neighborhood. And we redistrict the map and take a few Hispanic districts away, take the only black district away out of Texas and make them all white, baby. Come on. That's the American way, the Republican American way anyway. Lie, cheat, steal, do whatever you have to do, because that's the only way you win here in Texas. There are more Democrats in this state than there are Republicans. By percentage. We just can't get the vote because, you know, lying, cheating, stealing shit.
If California, Oregon, and Washington, all and Illinois, and New York all did exactly what Texas has done, there would be zero Republicans congressmen coming from any of those states.
Yeah, they've made it very blatant, and that's why I'm very glad that DOJ filed a lawsuit against them, because it is discriminatory. We picked up two districts in this state. Both of them just happened to be majority white. You know, kiss my ass. You racist son of a bitches. And that's what we have in Texas State House.
Hey, John, are there any
to win?
Are there any lawsuits filed because we were talking about this earlier before you got here too? Are there any lawsuits filed over the critical race theory law that the dumbass legislature passed?
Yes, I believe there was one filed. I don't remember who it was with. I'm thinking.
Because Billable Rick pointed out something I thought quite good. You know, they passed a law banning critical race theory, but didn't bother to say what it was. So it's going to be constitutionally vague.
Well, that's exactly what the Republicans want it to be. They want it to be the boogeyman that it's not. You know, it's not taught in any schools. It's not taught until you get past, you know, into postgraduate school.
Yeah, master's degree.
Yeah, you're going for your master's. I don't think anybody in 12th grade is going for their master's.
Hey, Robin and John.
Yes.
I think this might be, since I think I'm probably wrong about my past quote unquote prediction about Roe never being overturned because they needed the fundraise off of it. I think Roe probably will be overturned. And this will replace Roe as the, the cash cow for these people. What do you think, Robin? And then they've got marriage equality, so they got two great ones. We can go.
I've said all along that the one group in America that wants Roe versus Wade to remain the law of the land more than any other group are the fetus, the people who are raking in the dough over the fetus fetishes. You know, they use the twits and the boobs and the fools with the, you know, coming burbling out of the churches with their signs and their pictures of little aborted fetuses and whatnot. They use those as shock troops in the culture war.
Mm-hmm.
And they are very good at W.C. Fields' laws, namely, don't smarten up a chump. So there's that.
Yeah, if the donations stop coming in, how's Jesse Lee gonna pay for his liquor tab?
Well, there's that, but if the multi, I would bet it's a $1 billion industry, the fetus fetish industry. And it, consider how much of that money goes into get out the vote efforts to make sure that the good Baptists and the evangelicals come creeping and scurrying and skittering out from behind the baseboards to go and vote.
And you know what, Robin? When those are the people that when they go vote, they don't just vote on that issue. They then end up voting straight ticket GOP. So it serves a dual purpose.
That is the purpose, Steve.
Yeah, the purpose. Okay, you're right. I sit corrected.
Nicely done. Sit corrected. Yeah. Hey, let me send out a thank you. Let me send out a thank you to Gary. Thank you, Gary, so very much for jumping in. You have gotten us down to 11:55 for a community made miracle on this Friday on the front porch. 11:55, and we've got, an hour and 10 minutes to go to take some more out of it so that we can, you know, do bill paying and all of that stuff because we're moving into the...
I don't suppose it's a case where somebody could, like, you know, donate $11 and somebody could donate $55 and we'd be done.
It's 1,155, Chairman. Yeah, it's kind of where we are.
Boy, howdy.
Hey, Robin.
Yeah.
Hey there.
Right here.
Yeah, this is Gary. Elvis gave me a couple hundred bucks here last Friday up at the slots.
Oh, yeah. So the Elvis game?
Yeah, Illinois is one big slot machine now.
Oh, great.
Well, we're glad you came out ahead, and so is Robin.
Yes, I am. Of course, West Virginia has a gambling hell on every corner, too.
$1,100 is a lot of money, people, but let me tell you.
There's two bars and with a minimum of six slot machines in each one.
John, you were saying?
It's a long way. It's a long way to a slot machine from my... I was just saying, $1,100 sounds like a lot of money, and it is. Indeed, it is. I wish I had it right now. I'd be tickled to death, but I don't. And I don't because Robin and I share a commonality in the fact that this is what we do for a living. This is how Robin pays her bills, is her voice. This Horn family, this Horn network, it only goes on because Robin has enough to pay her bills. And Robin's been gone for a while, and thankfully, praise whatever deity you want, that she came through this the way she should. But it left a big gap in the funding project there. So, when we ask you to donate, it's not because we want to go off on vacation to the Caribbean, is it? Is it? No?
No.
It's just to pay the bills, baby. The electric bill, the cable bill, the internet bill, whatever bill it is.
Yeah, doing it in basically
comes from y'all.
And doing it basically in two places at once.
Yeah, that's hard to do, baby. That's hard to do. So, yeah, I come on here and I ask you because there's a genuine need there. And there's a genuine service being provided. And that is the service of an intelligent conversation and a motivation to keep this country going, this democracy that we hold dear. That we talk about so much. It's only by the voice of Robin and others like her that this message keeps going, that there's people motivated. And besides that, where else are you going to find such fine entertainment than right here on a Friday night? You're getting educated. You're getting entertained. I'm sure there's going to be some laughs.
Cussing and carrying on.
Cussing.
And
yeah. All sorts of shit. So your money is well spent. So please, if you can.
John, you mentioned fine entertainment, and you remind me of a story. There was a city slicker who went out and bought him some ranch property out in the scrub, and had him a little ranch house. Had him a little ranch house and a few hundred acres, and one day a fella come riding over on his horse and said, "You're new around here, ain't you?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, you being new and all," I'd like to invite you to a welcoming party I'm throwing. He said, "Really? You're throwing a welcoming party?" And he said, "Yeah, I am." He said, "Well, what's going to go on?" He says, "Well, we're going to play some poker. You like poker?" He goes, "Yeah, I love poker." He said, "There's going to be some drinking. Some whiskey." He said, "You like whiskey?" He said, "I like whiskey."
"Who don't like whiskey?"
And he said, "There's going to be some dancing." He said, "You like dancing?" And he said, "I like dancing."
Yeah.
And he said, and there might even be some sex.
Sex?
"You like sex?" And the feller says, "Yeah, I like sex." And finally the new guy says, "So who all's going to be at this party?" He said, "Oh, it's just going to be you and me."
Ah.
Yeah.
You make me feel like dancing.
I can't. My voice won't go that high yet.
Hey, Robin.
Yes.
Robin, did you see my own? I was very upset at the whole banning of critical race theory because it wouldn't let me. I was wondering if I would be prohibited from criticizing Richard Petty.
Wow, that was a long way you went for that.
Yeah, wow. Damn. I know, I invented the Gunner, and wow, one just fell right on top of my head there.
Oh, I'm surprised that didn't cave your little pea-picking head in.
Yeah.
That was real bad. But I tell you what, that was high quality, them fake brains. That was good.
Well, once in a while. What do you think? I have to ask a football question, then this will be the only one I ask. What do you think of the new defensive coordinator hire? Everything I'm reading, it's really, really good.
My only question is, well, I mean, you're talking about it at TOSU?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll be good, and now he's got an entire he's got an entire offseason to plan for it.
Mm-hmm. And the budget.
And God knows next year they'll be motivated, and the game will take place in the Horseshoe.
In Seabus, yeah.
We're going to try to lay it down.
Oh, by the way, I had a note from Scary Jerry giving me grief for not having yet set up my Bitcoin wallet. There's going to be a learning curve involved with that, but I will, and then I'll give the details to Brother Deacon Asa, and maybe he can put it up on the contribute page. Scary, if you're still there, I mentioned this earlier, and I don't know if you actually heard the program earlier in the week, but nobody told me, and John Brivo, you get to be jealous of me for once.
What? I'm jealous all the time, baby. What do you mean, once?
Sparky's got delivery and shit going on out there.
Yeah. He gets my ass, but what's up with you?
Scary Jerry gave me some advice that for the nerve pain that I'm dealing with, I need some Delta 8 CBD gummies. So it turns out there's a reputable little store down in Five Points South, which is a cute little part of downtown Birmingham. And I went there, yeah. And I said, "Do y'all have any Delta 8 gummies?" And she said, "Yes, we do."
Of course they do.
And so she pointed them out to me, and they're like fancy fruits flavor. There's like mango and pineapple and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And said, "This is it." And I said, "Cool." And then I said, "What's that right there?" And she said, "That's the Delta 9 gummies."
Delta 9?
Yeah. And I said, "Hold on."
Yeah.
"That's the psychoactive ingredient." And she said, "It sure as shit is."
And how the hell are they getting away with that shit?
Well, I asked her the same question. I said, "Now, I'm not the feds or a narc or anything, but how are y'all getting away with that?"
Give me a dozen, by the way.
And she said, "Well, I guess the state of Alabama didn't make Delta-9 THC illegal. They just made marijuana illegal."
Smart people down there in Alabama. I'm telling you, Delta-8 I'm very familiar with. They sell it here in Texas. I'm very, we get the vape thing. And every time I use it, I think, really? And you ban marijuana. Fuck you.
Yeah, so it goes a little further though, because I got one of each. I got the Indica Delta 9, and yeah. I just got the regular Delta 8s, and it didn't say sativa, indica, whatever.
Right.
And got home, did the program, following Scary Jerry's advice.
There you go.
And popped one of them little gummies, and it turned out to be mango flavored, and it was really delicious.
Good flavor.
And it was 25 milligrams per.
Hello.
And John Brivo, I guess I'm some sort of lightweight. Once upon a time, I was not.
Well, you just got to practice, that's all.
But I am now, because we had our dinner and everything, and I got up to walk to the kitchen, and I kind of stopped halfway, and I looked at Annette, and I said, "I'm fucking high."
Shit. Love it.
And then I proceeded to go into the kitchen, open the freezer, haul out a half a gallon of Bluebell Dutch chocolate ice cream, and went to town.
Oh, listen to you.
Went to town.
I just heard some commercial from a place out in California that's got THC-infused pizza. So you order a pizza.
Shut the front door.
You get high, you get the munchies. Hey, somebody says, "Hey, let's order a pizza." It's a vicious cycle. I'm telling you.
That's great.
It's what I'd like to get into, but shit. Nope. All I got down here is sticks and stems and seeds and dry shit that, price is good, $50 an ounce, but
Hey, I want to deposit this to the family. You know, everybody, of course, you know, we know we've got – Joe's got his short hairs in the clenches of cinema and mansion, right, for, you know, the rest of his legacy and his presidency. But there are two things, and I was listening to Farron Cousins' show, and there are two things that Joe can do unilaterally that, well, I think are going to give us a hell of a lot better chance in 2022, and that is A, student loan debt relief, you know, at least 20, 25,000, something like that. And taking cannabis off the schedule, right? Cannabis emancipation.
Well, time out. Can I just call time out and pee on your Wheaties for a minute, Christopher?
Go for it.
There is a
everybody else fucking does.
There's a van. And by the way, thanks, Scary Jerry. Scary Jerry threw five conventionally, so we're down to 11:50. Thank you, Scary Jerry. But Scary Jerry, you did not tell me that Delta 8 would get me hoy hoy. There is a vast gulf between what Joe Manchin can do and what Joe Manchin will do, and Joe Manchin doesn't want anybody feeling like they're going to get all uppity by getting some student loan debt relief. Okay. I mean, I'm kind of...
Yeah, but that's not his decision, right, Robin? I mean, Joe can do it through executive order.
Oh, Biden. You say Joe, and it gets confused.
Yeah. No, I meant that Joe. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I don't think he means Manchin.
No, okay. I'm saying Biden could do an executive order and
theoretically. Although, you know, those are legislatively created, in some instances at least, those are legislatively created programs that might need congressional action. I don't know. But I wanted to back up for just a second there, Christopher, because you said Joe Biden's short and curlies are going to be in the clutches of Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin for the remainder of his first term. I disagree, and I'm going to reiterate this. If we, as decent human beings, some of us are decent human beings who proudly call ourselves Democrats, if we as decent human beings bust our asses, as John Bridevoe talks about each and every day, and as I say, if we dare to dream and we make this work, and I said it previously, if we pick up four Senate seats, those four Senate seats, say Pennsylvania, Ohio, North Carolina, and Florida, those four Senate seats will enable us to look at Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin and say, sit down and shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
It's a big if, though.
It's not that big an if. It's four Senate seats.
Last Friday on your show here, I left here more enthused, thinking, yep, there you go, baby. I know where... I'm waiting on 22. I think we could do a whole lot better than what these freaking talking heads on TV think they are talking about.
You
look at what's going to happen at the beginning of next year.
The ruling party normally loses seats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The president's party normally loses seats in the midterm elections.
Yeah, let's fuck that shit and let's prove it wrong.
Yeah,
that's
a
look what's happening.
That's not like Boyle's gas laws or gravity.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's not for sure. We could buck this ship.
It's more true than not. That's the problem.
It is historically more true than not. But the reason it's historically more true than not is that there have been a lot of midterm elections that were kind of ho hum.
Yes.
This is a midterm election in which our very lives depend upon how excited and how exuberant and how determined and how passionate we are in pressing our case.
Hopefully, you know, given that the majority of Americans are pro-choice, that want abortion to be legal and available, that the SCOTUS decision today, basically punting the ball, negating themselves to a large degree, and not even going, hey, we already decided this, and this law is unconstitutional, and didn't do that. They very much negated their authority today and really broke open the barn doors of anything goes on a state level to negate a SCOTUS decision. That happened today. And hopefully that pisses Americans off.
I certainly hope it pisses off the slightly more than 50% of the population.
Yes, 52, 55 or something. You know,
by the way, hey, sister.
I believe it will. It's,
according to polls, much higher than that, that won't abortion to be legal and accessible.
I don't think a lot of people realize the gravity of today's decision. They're waiting on the decision out of Mississippi.
More than just abortion. More than just abortion. Because they could use that little pissant law as a template to negate any damn SCOTUS decision they want.
Bingo. It's called nullification. It has been a fetish object in the South, particularly since way before 1850. Andrew Jackson was president of the United States when John C. Calhoun, his own vice president, went off and started barking about nullification. And Andrew Jackson said, "I'm going to get on my horse. I'm going to get me a rope, and I'm going to ride down to South Carolina, and I'm going to start hanging nullifiers until I get to until this nullification craziness gets out of their system." And they settled down for about another 25 years.
Yeah, the great compromise kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, and so that was what I was preaching during the filibuster, Terry, is that if you can use it on this, you can use it on something else.
And, you can use it on any damn thing, anything.
And frankly, the only thing that's going to wake up those nasty little fascists in Washington the five assholes on the Supreme Court bench who did this today, the only thing that's going to wake them up is if, say, California says, "Cool, you can nullify a constitutional right? Party! Guns are illegal. Shut all the stores."
Yeah, I know. You know, they brought that up in the original arguments on SB 8 that they, of course, punted. You know, it's like, well, I mean, why can't they use this on every damn thing in the world? Guns being one of them. It's like, yeah, you want to do this? We got it. We'll fuck your gun right over in a heartbeat, you know.
And the risk that comes with this is that this is going to embolden the maggot states. Terry, honey, I know you've got to just be waiting for the legislature to start meeting here in Alabama, because that is going to be a goddamn circus. And there's going to be an SB 8 law to, overturn gay marriage. There's going to be an SB 8 law to, put a bounty on physicians who provide hormone replacement therapy.
Oh, yeah. It's just going to bust open the barn doors, because they've already submitted one here in Alabama, kind of pre-filed it. And, you know, some Republicans were saying this is a waste of time. You know, we need to have the SCOTUS make a decision on it. Well, they kind of made one today. It's still legal, but we're going to let you work through the courts. You know, we're going to let Planned Parenthood and Women's Health, I think, is what the primary plaintiff was. We'll let you work through the lower courts and all, but the law stands as is.
Right. We'll let the district court overrule the law again, and then we'll let the Fifth Circuit overrule the district court, and then it'll come up to us, and we're going to say, yeah, y'all can do this.
Yeah,
and hopefully by then the elections will be over. See how it works?
Yeah, I know. It's just delay, delay, delay. That's you know, the Democrats have got to fucking wake up at some point. It's like, buddy, they got y'all by the cojones, and y'all need to wriggle free and get rid of the fucking filibuster.
That would be so step
one. You don't think McConnell won't do that as soon as he gets back in power?
Oh, bet your ass he will.
The hell he won't, you know.
Yeah. You bet your ass. You let them Republicans get back in power, and you see what they start doing.
It is beyond infuriating. I'm tired of this. Well, you know, when they go low, we go high. No, we need to get down in the damn gutter with them and kick them in the ass is what we need to do.
Hey, Terry, I have one objection.
Okay, object.
I don't want to kick him in the ass. I want to kick him in the head.
That works too.
See, I have always been that when they go low, we kick them in the head.
There you go. They're bent over anyway.
But you know what, though? Listen.
We need to fight fire with fire. Enough of this pussyfooting around. Enough of this civility crap. Because they're not doing that. And they are biding their time. And they were working the system to delay and obfuscate until the midterms. Because they're going to try to steal.
No, I agree. We need to kick ass because if the Republicans. Damn
election that they can, frankly. That's what they're going to do. They're saying they're going
to
do
it. All you have to do is ask yourself what would the Republicans do in this case? We've seen what they did. They got three Supreme Court justices, baby. They shove it up your ass. Whatever they want. They want a big tax cut for the rich. Shove it up your ass. We're taking it.
McConnell was a fucking hypocrite.
You know, let's start playing that game.
Wait a minute.
And it starts with getting rid of the filibuster, because if we don't, you know, we're talking about an election coming up in 22. If we don't do something about the voting rights in this country, we're pretty well fucked.
We're toast.
So let's quit this bullshit and act like the party that we should. The one that you want to be a progressive. To be a progressive, you push, baby. That's what moves the fucking line. You push.
Let me say something along the lines with Terry. By the way, Terry, that photo. You're a dish.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, and Robin and I always text back and forth about she and I. So I feel, you know, and I hope you take that for the love and mirth in which it's for which it's intended.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I love your hair too, and that red lipstick. That's
thanks.
That's smoking. Yeah.
But okay, sometimes, thanks.
here's some things that we have to keep in mind that we're not keeping in mind. Number one, the fact that polls show that the country is on a majority pro-choice is not relevant, and I'm going to tell you why. If we in this country, we don't have national elections, not even the presidency. We have to focus on, or what I would like to, I would be curious to know.
How is the presidency not a national election?
All elections because, are state elections.
Wait a minute. Yes, because the national vote doesn't determine the president. Each state, we have 50 state elections, even in the presidency. So here's my point.
It's electoral college, yes. It's electoral. Yeah. But because, it's still a national. It's the only national election we have.
Well, it's the only thing that everybody votes for, correct?
Yeah.
But putting that aside, so we need to figure out what are the percentages in each state, and in those states where the majority is not pro-choice, maybe we can focus on certain districts that may be, but. If Rachel Bitkofer, and I don't know if anybody knows who she is, but look her up, Bitkofer. And I think she's dead on right in a lot of things. And she has talked about persuasion is no longer the coin of the realm in winning elections.
I don't think it ever was.
I agree with you there, but...
Never try to persuade anybody.
Never.
They have always
motivation.
Fear mongering. Who is the bogeyman of the day? That's who you should be scared of, because that's who I'm going to protect you from.
And I think it's even more granular than that. It's you fear monger to your base.
Yes.
Yeah, the whole point is to keep them motivated.
Proud. You know, fear draws. Good news doesn't get ratings, as we see in the current news cycle of nothing being mentioned about Biden's record and how well everything's going, how low unemployment is, and the economy's doing well, and so on.
You didn't listen to my show today because I bragged about all that.
You don't
hear that from the mainstream media. You're not, you know, it's all gloom and doom and how horrible Biden is doing. doing it. Oh, my God, the gas prices and inflation. Oh, it's going to eat our lunch, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Here's there's two pillars. There's two pillars to the strategy. We have to fear monger to get people motivated to say, oh, shit, I need to do something. Uh-huh. It's the positive that makes them go, ah. And I think as those of us who are left, center left, whatever, fear mongering gets us so far. The voters, look, there's those core voters who are going to vote no matter what. The fear mongering begins to motivate the people who may or may not. That gets them
Democrats being full of page from the Republican playbook and fear monger to a degree.
I agree with you. Okay. But people on the left, that gets them looking. What gets them voting is be afraid of them, and here's what we are going to do, and here's what we have done, and for what we have done, they're going to take it away.
Yeah,
and it does work. I mean, if I could just jump in here for a second.
Progressive things, and then go, look, we got it done for you. The Republicans are going to turn back the clock. They're already doing it on abortion rights. What other rights do you think they're going to go for? They're not going to stop there. They're going to take your Social Security. They're going to take your Medicaid. They're going to take every damn thing.
Interracial marriage. They'll make that illegal.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
This bullshit opens the door on literally everything.
Thomas has thought about that. Wonder if Justice Thomas, if that has crossed his little mind.
Well, you know, it won't affect him, right? Yeah. But it's all on the stupid, primarily Southern morality laws about what even married couples can do in the privacy of their own bedroom. That shit's on the line.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Remember Bowers versus Hardwick? I mean, it's, you know, all those fetish objects for people like fat, dead Tony Scalia, it's going to come roaring back, and the only thing that'll be left are damn guns.
And you know what, Robin? There's something else that is all about framing. If you ever read Flowers v. Hardwick, was it Berger? Is that who the Chief Justice
was? No, I think it's post-Berger.
Okay. Berger said in the case, there is no, the way he framed it was this. And the way it got framed from the beginning, I think the way Bowers, who was the Attorney General of Texas, I believe, or Georgia, framed it was, is there a constitutional right to commit homosexual sodomy? So it was easy for them to look at it that way. It got overturned because it got framed as, should the government be telling you what you do in your bedroom?
I mean, there's not a constitutional right to heterosexual sex. There's no constitutional right.
No, I understand.
Remember the originalist approach to all of these things is to say there's no constitutional right. Fat, dead Tony Scalia became infamous for declaring that there is no constitutional right not to be unjustly executed by the state. He said that, and it is a faith article for the bullshit conservative the legal movement. There is no constitutional right for you not to be executed when you are innocent.
And you know what? We need to frame it. The abortion issue, we need to frame it differently. We need to frame it as, do you want the state sitting there in the doctor's office with you while you and your doctor are talking about stuff and take abortion out of it? If they can do that with abortion, they can do that with birth control, they can do that with whether or not you have a vasectomy, they can do that with whether or not you get
and Steve,
surgery.
The larger point here, and by the way, thank you, Jeremy. Thank you, Jeremy, for jumping in. We are down to 11:20.
If the conservatives are yelling about their personal body freedom to not have to get a vaccine with the vaccine mandates, how do you strip body rights away from one segment of the population, women? But we're going to let you have the freedom to refuse a vaccine.
Oh yeah, yeah. But what I was saying. Okay.
That kind of thing is easily done. That kind of framing.
Sure it is.
Right there. It's already there, right there in front of us today.
And I'm going to go, Sparky, who did you say has your hand, had their hand? Oh, I see, Billable Rick. Okay, well, we will go to Billable Rick just in a second. I just want to point out, one, a minute ago, I didn't know if it got heard or not, but thank you, Jeremy, for jumping in. Thank you so much. We're down to $1,120 away from a Friday on the Front Porch Community Made Miracle.
Come on, let's go, baby. We can do better than this.
It could happen. But secondarily, what you and Steve both said about getting down and fighting as dirty as they fight, it has happened. And it happened and it worked. I'm so old I can remember when George W. Bush dummied up his second election. He did it in Ohio that time, if you recall. And he said, I got me some political capital now, and I'm going to spend it, and we're going to piratize Social Security. And the messaging went out that George W. Bush wants to take your Social Security away and put it on Wall Street. And it worked. And he didn't get to do it. And then, fast forward to 2012, Barack Obama is running for re-election, and Bishop Willard has nominated Eddie Munster Ryan as his running mate. And we made the argument on our side that Eddie Munster Ryan, by his own words, wants to cut Social Security. And that worked, too. I don't know why we keep forgetting that this does work. Just, you know, that's the thing. All you got to do is tell the truth about them, and bang, there you are. Billable Rick, go, my friend.
The retirees, as a voting block, vote regularly, consistently. They keep wanting to get the youth vote. The youth vote does not vote like the retiree block.
Rick, wake up or lower your hand.
Hey, I got a couple of points here quickly. I don't know if anybody was aware of this, but on December 7th, Pearl Harbor Day, a MAGA judge in the Southern District of Florida issued a nationwide injunction on Biden's plan or requirement to have federal contractors and subcontractors vaccinated across the country. And so that kind of illustrates the limits of the executive order and, you know, the power of the, you know, the maggots to, you know, these anti-vaxxers, you know, that whole thing. But apparently the injunction doesn't affect separate rules that require vaccines in order to have access to federal sites. So it's, I guess it remains to be seen, you know, what happens. The guy's name, the judge is R. Stan Baker. A 44-year-old Trump-appointed judge. He's been serving since 2018.
What a surprise. Trump-appointed judge. That's kind of all you got to say, doesn't it?
It is. That's what they spent their whole time doing.
And the second point I was going to make is the timing of the Supreme Court's order in the Texas case is very interesting. It's on a holiday, towards the holiday weekend on a Friday afternoon, kind of a news dump idea. And, I had no idea about that decision until Robin mentioned it. So I doubt that very many Americans are going to be aware of this, you know, unless it's obviously publicized in the coming days and weeks.
Well, you know, the Senate voted to overturn his executive order about the federal vaccine mandate.
Oh, it did?
Now, it won't happen in the House, of course, but the Senate did.
And, of course, the traitor Joe Manchin was right there to help. And I helped.
Several Democrats, across party lines, and voted to kill it. It's like, okay, how just it is mind-boggling.
Let's watch our pronouns, Terry. They didn't vote to kill it. They voted to kill us.
Oh yeah, well, they voted to kill us. Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Yeah, it's the worst pandemic right now is not COVID. It's sheer willful stupidity.
Dumbitis.
Well, the idiocracy has become reality in this country, unfortunately. You know,
you see the little video of the woman who sang the Mariah Carey tune, talking about, you know, hydrochloroquine and worm paste and how masks were useless and so on and so forth. Like, really? Really?
Jared Kushner had it right. It's not about the issues anymore. We talk about issues so much on the left, and we're trying to push a very progressive agenda.
They don't give a shit.
They don't give a fuck. It's about the attitude, baby. It's about the attitude. Walk down my street, you see all this.
I got an argument on Twitter with a theologian talking about how we just needed to love these people, and if we just love them enough, they'll change their mind. And I was like, that's fucking bullshit.
God, oh, dear Jesus.
Crazy, naive horseshit. Hey, go ahead, Tracy.
Love Tracy. My ass. It is beyond stupid.
Hey, Tracy, go for it.
Hi, Tracy.
Can't wait to see you.
Hey, Tracy.
And Rick.
Hi. How y'all doing? Are the white people calmed down yet?
No.
Oh, if you have your hands raised, lower them.
Okay, well, Sparky, give me a minute, baby. I just, you know, I've been listening and stuff.
Sparky's a hand watcher. Yeah,
Lord.
Well, Jesus. I can't do it anymore.
No, baby, it's okay. I just, you know, how y'all, you know, I didn't
know I was supposed to raise my hand. I'm just going
to
interrupt.
No, I'm just trying to. I just want to interject. Because, you know, you white folks are all riled up, but I just want y'all to know that welcome to being black, because everything that you guys are upset about and screaming about, we've been dealing with forever. And so it's like, I just wish more white people would get up as my point being, I just wish more white people would get as riled up as my Horn family. Because
I agree with you. I completely agree with you.
You know, I'm sitting here, you know, where they're going to take away our rights. Well, hell, you know, how I look about, I don't know how the 13th, you know, amendment, they had that codicil in there that basically, you know, started the prison industrial complex. But we won't, you know, we won't go there. And I think about
Louisiana, for instance.
Yeah, Louisiana and stuff like that. And I just think about all the things that happened and continue to happen to black people. And, you know, it's like just today. Okay, I'm going to play devil's advocate. Okay, say yes, Jussie Smollett did fake the attack or what have you. It was a lie. And he filed a false police report. And how many white women have done that on a regular basis? See, even if he did do a false police report, he didn't call it on somebody else. Nobody was going to get killed. Okay. I mean, we're still, you know, let's just we can't ask Mamie or Emmett Till about what happens when a white woman calls in a false report on a black child or a black man. Okay. But this young man is getting got sentenced to 3 years. And everybody said, oh, he probably will get probation. Hello? You know, I don't know of anybody that's gone to jail. I mean, I know they get, you know, excoriated on Twitter and on Facebook and they lose their jobs and stuff like that, but they don't lose their freedom. They don't get criminal charges. They don't go to court.
Buffalo Snowflake, Tracy.
They get a slap on the wrist.
What did Buffalo Snowflake get for his insurrection? Right. He got a lot less than Smollett did, right?
This is what I'm saying.
Buffalo Snowflake got like 21 months, Christopher.
How many months?
31. Over 3 years.
Oh, we got over 3 years. All right. Well, I stand corrected. Okay.
But the thing is, it's just like, at what point? So it's the things that we Because, you know, I remember Election Day 2016 and all my white friends were like, I just can't believe this has happened. How did Trump get elected? And I'm like, y'all just don't realize just how racist ass this country is. Y'all just, it is beyond your comprehension.
Well, and I mean, if I could just jump in for a second, one thing, and then we'll go to Christopher. Let's see here. Let me do this. If you talk about, you know, punishment for turning in a false report, the woman who turned in the false report that resulted in the lynching of young Emmett Till is, I believe, still alive.
She finally admitted
that she made the whole thing up. And that young boy got murdered.
And they recanted.
Recanted, yeah. Which in other words means she lied her ass off.
Somebody was lying sometime.
There's a whole lot of lying going on.
Are you lying then or are you lying now? Or are you just a dirty, rotten liar? What's the deal here?
Basically, you know, if you're a Republican, that's your way of life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to piggyback on what Terry was saying and John about the fear-mongering and everything and amping up the butthurt for all the right-wing lunatics, lunatic fringe. And, you know, I mean, look at Fox. Look at Fox and all they've been doing 24/7 is reporting on the Christmas tree. Yeah, you know that the homeless guy was hired by Joe and BLM and Antifa to set fire to the Christmas tree. And, you know, it's the worst, you know, it's like the worst than the Rockstock fire, right? It's their Rockstock
since Pearl Harbor.
Pearl
Harbor Day, you know.
Worse than Pearl Harbor. Yeah, exactly.
You just want to pose in front of your Christmas tree with an AR-15.
Christmas tree. It was a fake Christmas tree. It was a faux Christmas tree, just like Fox News is faux news.
Yeah.
Yeah, the war on Christmas, man. I mean, we're going full speed ahead on that.
The talking heads on Fox and Friends in the morning talked about how the Christmas tree was such a uniter, stood for Christian ideals and Hanukkah.
Really? It was also a Hanukkah bush?
I heard that.
Did they really?
Yes.
You know, I'm going to comment on what Tracy said. Because it is the heart of it. It isn't until, you know, what's driving the right is passion. They're passionate about hate. They love it, baby.
Hate.
They preach it all the time, every which way they can. It motivates them. Outrage on our side needs to increase. And Tracy alluding to welcome to the world, white people. It's sort of, yeah. You know, the old saying, you don't know what you have until you lose it. Well, a lot of black people in this country know exactly what that means. Because they never had it to begin with. So they've had to fight. And it isn't until you're passionate about your own freedoms that sometimes we become aware of it. And now's the time for that. You should be outraged. The Supreme Court coming down on Roe v. Wade coming out of Mississippi, that's going to rile up a lot of people. But they should be riled up a whole lot more about the voting rights situations in this country. A lot of things that are happening on the right that are just outlandish. So we need to get passionate. Because we're going to lose this shit if we keep fucking around.
Well, you know, how do we make people passionate? Unless it affects them in a very personal way.
It is. Unfortunately, Terry, you're right. You know,
Germany. I mean, same difference in Nazi Germany. Jews dying? Yeah, well, whatever.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We need some fire.
Right? Reverend Niemöller poem. You know how that goes, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know,
first they came for the socialists and the
And then they came for me and there was nobody left.
There was nobody left to protest.
But the bottom line is, you know, John Ritter,
for racial rights,
it.
For sexual rights, for gay rights. Mm-hmm. If you're not willing to stand up for everybody's right, mm-hmm. what is that? How do we get freedom? By shared responsibility, shared sacrifice? This right. is the time to share
exactly.
it, baby.
And there's one of the points I think that comes out of this, John Bredevo, Terry, yeah. You know, I've heard you be fiery and passionate on Trans Talk Raw, and in the, and, yeah. and in this conversation, we need people, and sadly, it is not to be found in the cool Apollonian voices of, I mean, Rachel and Lawrence and no, there has got to be some fire breathing going on. That's the big difference. There's fire breathing going on the other side. And the, and I mean, it, Jesus Christ, I had the clip. What was it last night of little Cucky Tucky Carlson? Just apoplectic at the fact that COVID feminizes people.
Oh shit! I know. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the most absurd statement. He was upset. He basically based that statement on that it made men weak Lord. When they got sick, and ergo they were being feminized.
Yeah, really.
But he was uh-huh. he was almost bug-eyed apoplectic, and we don't and you know I do, Malloy does, John Bredevo, you do, Terry can get worked. We've got
oh,
to,
I
we
get
have,
worked,
you know, when we get worked, we demonstrate to others not that we know how to yell, but that we understand the gravity of the issue and the nature of what is at stake, because Very they are coming for us. There and us is all of us.
All of us. All of us.
I mean, well, honestly,
I scream this all the time. If you're not willing to, I've said it all the time. I have gay friends. That's a cliche type of thing.
Yes,
it is. I have transgender people in my life. I have black people in my life. If you're not mixed in with the gumbo, baby, there's a problem with your ass. I don't know how to. Oh, I'm trying to express something. I'm trying to dig into. Jason, it's just the basic thought of what an American is, uh-huh. what we should be, not what we are, but what we should be. What this country has always strived to be, because as bad as the history has been, there has always been somebody fighting for the progressive movement in this country to advance the rights of others.
Irish women.
Yes.
Blacks,
yeah.
Any number of different ethnicities,
yes.
throughout our history have fought for the various rights of their community. And today, of course, you know, the black Americans continue to fight, you know, after what, 50 some odd years since yeah. Martin Luther King and civil rights were passed in 1964, the Civil Rights Act.
Speaking it hasn't of which, stopped. Think about you know, who we stopped. Laid to rest today. Bob Dole, yep. Republican, Bob Dole. Who I put on the same level as somebody like John McCain. He was a Republican. Did I agree with him? No. Was he a jerk sometimes? Yes. But did he fight and make progress happen in this country in Social Security and in civil rights? Yes.
He was also LGBTQ bigot. But,
you know. Yeah, well, he was indeed. He was indeed. But, you know, nobody's.
Anyway, it was a damn Trump. Yeah.
He showed up at Trump's inaugural, so fuck him anyway, but he yeah. worked across the aisle when needed. We don't have yes. that anymore.
He was an old school.
He was
politician.
An old school
Mike
who
McCain.
I gave respect to for his service to this country.
Biden is an old school politician, yes. still feels he can work across the aisle and come to compromise with some
but
of these
look
individuals.
What's across the aisle now.
Yeah, I don't Obama. Know how many times he has to draw back a bloody stump.
Yeah. Lunatics.
You know, Macy out there and Bobart with their guns in front of their Christmas tree. That's who we have.
I have to point
That's
out.
That's the
though.
Reality.
I have to point out.
What
though,
do you think?
Thomas
I have the question. Sorry, can I? But,
the reboot. You know. The reboot of Thomas Massey's Christmas card is for the ages. If you haven't seen it, you really need to.
Reboot.
Yeah, somebody took Thomas Massey's Christmas card. You know where he's got. Real firearms
put
in the hands.
Black faces on all the bodies, basically. Is that the one you're talking about?
No. This was the one where they replaced. You know, had his children holding, who weren't even allowed to possess.
I've seen the original.
So you've seen the original. Well, somebody. Somebody took. Hold on, Billable. Somebody took that photo and replaced all the firearms with giant dildos.
Oh, well, yes, I heard about that. Yes, I haven't seen it.
I've seen the one where they replaced all the faces with black people. holding the guns, and how that made such a change.
There has been it gets down to the core of a fuck you and your Christian faith shit. Don't tell me you're a fucking Christian, Massey or Bobart. Who is you seen the one in Bobart? What is that kid down there? 6, 7 years old?
Right.
Really?
Yeah, and none of these people
in AR in that kid's hands.
And none of these jackanapes have ever read the verse where, you know, Peter having lopped off the ear of the centurion, Jesus tells him, put up thy sword into his place, for he that lives by the sword shall die by the sword. How do they keep missing that?
What's the equivalent of the sword today in our modern age?
That's your AR-15, Mr. Terry.
That's it, honey. Hey, Bill. It's an AK-15, 14, 47, whatever you want to call it, you know.
And yeah, that's what it is, too. And that's what I preach all the time, because the Second Amendment has been perverted. I live out in the country. I have animals. I have a weapon on my house, and the main reason is I hate to fucking say it, but eventually you have to put down an animal, and it's heartbreaking. That's why I have guns. I don't have it to protect me from my neighbors, although that's recently become an option. But it's not about having a weapon in your house. Now it's about the AR-15. It's about an AK. It's about having a flak jacket.
It's about having fetish.
You want to look like Rambo, you want to act like Rambo.
Of course,
most of these guys have like 100 pounds on their gut, hauling around 100 pounds on their gut.
Yeah, Hey, Billable Rick, you've been trying to say something, it looks like.
Yeah, I've been thinking, the only right I can think of that any kind of a liberal democratic state would want to take away from people would be maybe the right to arm bears.
Bear arms. Isn't that what Betsy DeVos wanted to do, Rick?
Well, see, I'm so old I can remember when Michelle Obama showed up in a photograph with a sleeveless dress, and Republicans the world over had a conniption over her having the right to bear arms.
Yeah, not to mention that suit that Obama wore, and what a disaster that was.
Kind of blew that was right horrible. Past it.
There should have been longer.
That was a good play on words, and it just kind of blew right past it. Michelle Obama, Republicans objected to her right to bear arms because she wore a sleeveless dress.
I was trying to say something, but I keep my buttons keep getting pushed, not pushed, but no. I mean, they were just because they were envisioning Barbara Bush with bare arms and.
The love child of the Quaker Oats, man. Yeah.
Are we below $1,000 yet, by the way, Robin?
Not quite, but thank you to Gary. We have a Gary Knight here. We are down to 1070. We're down to 1070, and we got about 18 minutes to go in the program.
Oh, come on now.
It would
we
be wonderful.
We can get under $1,000, people. This is important. It really is. I hate to interject this stuff. It's hard to do it on my show. It's difficult for Robin to do this, to ask you for that donation. It is so important. You enjoy this conversation? Guess what? The electricity costs money. The internet costs money. Everything costs money. We're in that society. And with inflation the way it is, it went up. Robin is in need of this donation. So if you do, baby, and I know one of you just scratched off a big old fucking lotto ticket. just think about taking a little bit if you can in helping this program stay on the air.
Yeah.
And by the way.
Going on 2 decades.
Here.
One more comment.
Yes.
Go Navy. I'm just saying.
Roll Tide. Roll. Always.
Go Bears over the Packers. Navy.
Tomorrow's the day. Army Navy game, baby.
Little food porn?
Food porn.
Well, no. Tracy was trying to get in.
Okay, go ahead, Tracy.
Roger, go ahead. I was just thinking about what you were saying about people being passionate about stuff. And Robin can tell you what I've been going through for last month, well, all semester, but it finally came to a head. When people fuck you over and you're not used to saying anything and you finally say enough is enough. And that's what this country has to get to.
Yes.
Well, because I actually wound up having to go to the dean over a situation at my school because of a class. And I'm like, if y'all fucking fail me because of this class, because I said, if I get any, because I basically told them, I do not want anything lower than a B+. Because they at first they said they're going to give me credit for the class. I said, no, credit means, and by credit I mean a B+ or higher, because I'm on the dean's list and I do not want this fucking class to mess up my GPA. I had a 4.0 GPA. And it's just, when people think you're just going to sit by and take it, it's exhausting. Oh, and by the way, black women saved the state of Georgia and saved this country. And we're still waiting for that. We're still owed so much, because it's like all these decisions, all, you know, I know Joe Biden.
Counting on her to do it again down there.
You know, but, you know, when all these people who get off for murder and stuff like that, and his response is, well, the justice system was just. But until he stands up and says, like with the fool Rittenhouse, and says that was wrong, he should not have gotten off, or any other times that a black person is killed by the cops, until he stands up and says, this is wrong, we need to make a federal law, we need to, you know, they need to go up for, you know, civil rights violations, he's going to have problems with black people because we're tired. We show up because we always do. We are, you know, but I'm tired, and I know a whole lot of other black folks are tired, because, you know, that's why all these kids are voting Republican, because they say, well, what are the Democrats doing for you?
How do you vote Republican, though? Because you know they're just going to gut you. They're just going to gut you like a fish on the banks of the river. Why vote Republican? I don't get that at all.
I'm coming from the black perspective, and how people can be easily swayed. It's the same way as you're listening to, you know, when poor white folks are voting Republican. It's like, really? But when they speak to something that you're not seeing, I mean, because they're stuck on social media. Nobody's reading anymore, because nobody has time to read, because they're working 2 and 3 jobs just to cobble together one. Nobody has time to do anything but survive. And so it's like, I mean, I would never vote Republican but I'm also an informed voter. I also know when they say the lesser of two evils, I know that's bullshit. I can't, you know, because I have so many black friends that absolutely positively refuse to vote because they don't see the point. And I understand their apathy. I understand why, you know, I try to explain to them, but it's like
I get it, Tracy, but it doesn't change the fact that they're digging their own grave.
Again, when you see, you know, your communities and money not being put into your communities, when you see your family decimated by, you know, laws made by the government. When you see somebody goes to jail for a $5 rock, and a white boy and white folks who sell and use more drugs than black people, and they get, oh, they're just useful offenders. You get tired, baby. You get tired. And then when you elect people who promise that they're going to do something for you and do better, and they don't. Again, I understand why people are doing it. So it's like, but you got to understand.
He's still digging your grave, baby.
I understand that. But you know, again, you come live in the, you come and when there's no protections, when you come and see my name, where my name, I grew up, and there's hardly any black people there anymore, and the white people are moving in and jacking up our prices, you know, rent, and no, now we can't afford our homes in our neighborhoods. We're being pushed out, and the governments, the city, state, local, governments aren't doing anything to protect us, and the federal government and the laws that they put in place in the first place to keep us in these neighborhoods. What do you want? You know, what more do you want from us?
Yeah, I get it. I understand, Tracy. I understand that.
You know, what more?
But apathy does not get any change.
I get it. I mean,
it doesn't. I mean, it doesn't change a damn thing. You know,
you know, but you get black people, we get all, you know, we get behind the president, we get behind this, we get behind that. And then we get people, we get folks into office, and we can't even get our president to say when you kill a black, unarmed black man by the police, that that's wrong. And if the state, if the local government won't prosecute, then it's a civil rights violation and we'll go federal.
We're sicking Merrick Garland on you. But Merrick Garland, he doesn't have a lot of appetite for this, right?
No, that's what I'm
Tracy,
saying.
Tracy, on the other...
That. I think Merrick Garland is doing a lot of things behind the scenes. Things are happening.
Right.
Things aren't going
well. Well, I hope you're right.
We would all like to occur, but they are.
On the other coast, the same thing's happening in Brooklyn and Queens. It used to be white, and then in the 20s it went black. And now the whites are moving back in and sprucing up and kicking the blacks back out.
Mm-hmm. When you see, there's a new show on one of my streamers. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, Amazon Prime. I had to like count down which one. It's called Harlem, and it's about four millennial black women, the older millennials. We're talking like the 40-year-olds, like my sister and my brothers, and how, you know, you're walking down Harlem and they have pictures of the soul of Harlem, and it's white, is a white couple with a black baby, a white gay couple with a black baby, and all the restaurants that used to be black owned and operated, and there's an Ulta and stuff like that, you know, and there's nobody is doing anything about it because, you know, capitalism. And they don't care. And like you said, you know, it's neighborhoods like, you know, I'm writing a paper about it. Neighborhoods that used to be white and then they fought and, you know, they used legal, you know, the courts and all that to keep black people out. Then in 1948 or 45, when they said the courts could no longer be used for discrimination, but then they started enforcing the racial covenants and keep people out. And then it wasn't until the 60s when they said, okay, finally, no, you really, 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 really can't do this. It's like, that's when we moved out of South Central. It's just, when I've lived this history, I've seen it when we've made these, our safe spaces for black folk. And then we don't have them anymore. And it's not just black people. It's Latinx people. It's not so much because they have a stronger, there's more of them than us. So they have a stronger chance of keeping their neighborhoods. But if you see this show called Gentrified, it's on Netflix. Same thing. It's just, you know, it's exhausting to be a BIPOC person in this country. And it's exhausting to be, you know, a transgender person in this country, because the rules aren't made for us. And like John Bredevoe said, if you're not standing up for me as a black queer woman, and if I'm not standing up for Robin and Terry as two trans women, and if I'm not standing up for Jewish people, if they're not standing up for me,
then don't complain when people aren't standing up for.
Well, that's why the Chappelle nonsense is so hurtful, right? And that's
Oh my God. I don't know if Robin told you, Terry, but I was so excited. There's a new radio station here in LA. It's called KBLA or K Blacks or something like that. And it's a black progressive talk radio station. And I was all excited, black owned and black operated. Yay, yay, yay. And the first show that I heard, this guy was talking about some a trans woman who, you know, I don't know if she, you know, had a gender affirming surgery or if she hadn't, I don't know. But she was saying that she's not attracted to men and she's only attracted sexually to women. And, you know, which is nothing wrong with that. So, of course, and he's like, well, why did he bother? And he, of course, he misgendered her. Why did he bother to change it, you know, transgender, if, you know, if you're not into men or blah, blah, blah. And then he said that's just mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, because,
you know, usually when you call into radio shows, they give you 5 minutes to say something and then they move you along. But I was on, they kept me on the radio for what, 30, 40 minutes? And I said, the first thing first, I said, I was all excited about this show and the station. And what am I hearing that you're attacking my community? And I said, first of all, this is not a lifestyle. This is not a choice. Nope. This is who we are. And I laid into them.
Well, the fact they didn't kick you off meant that you rattled their brain cells a little bit. Yeah. You got that little light bulb flickering up on top of their head, and good for you for that.
They kept me on through commercials. They're like, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere.
That's great.
You know, and
it's not for radio, Tracy.
Huh?
It's for the radio. Controversy sells in radio. That's why they kept you on.
And this is, but actually, no, they were very, and it wasn't that it was controversy, because once I said what I said, and I said, you guys have to understand, you know, when words matter, you know, when you, because as I said, you know, when you say being transgender is mental illness. I said, let's get this out the way. First of all, the DSM back in, what, the 70s, stopped saying that, being gay is a mental illness. So first of all, take that back. Second of all, you know, I just went on and, you know, I said, but when I ended the call, I said, because we left it on good terms. They were laughing. I was, you know, I can turn stuff around. And I said, look, real talk, y'all. When you say stuff about, you know, mental illness and saying stuff about, you know, basically inferring that, you know, trans people aren't real and it's a choice, you're opening them up to dangerous situations. I said, I won't even go mention that person's name that was on a had his quote unquote special not long ago, and was unrepentant and unapologetic. But I said, those words have real consequences. Black women die because people. But the best part was, I said, you know, about it being a choice, because this is what I said. I said, look, I had the privilege. When I realized who I was grown. I didn't have to worry about losing my home. I didn't have to worry about losing my job. I didn't have to worry about anything. It was just another layer of the onion that I could be. I said, but I feared, you know, for what would have happened had this happened to me when I was younger. And I fear for all my young, you know, LGBTQIA, you know, kids that get thrown out of their homes because they're living who they really want to be. I said, you know, I have a dear, dear friend. And I said, but listen, I said, it's hard enough being a black person in this country. Okay? Now, go on being a black queer person, or better yet, a black trans person. Do you think it's like, oh, gee, it's fun being black? But now I'm going to say, yay, I want to be transgender, and I want to, you know, especially if I decide to go through surgery and all of these things. And I'm doing this because I'm choosing this, because this is a fucking e-ticket to Disneyland, y'all.
That's it.
Honey. We don't do this shit for a kick. The three of us on this show can tell you we've all been through cycles where we wondered why we weren't like everybody else. Right. Why we couldn't just make it go away. Why we thought these weird thoughts. Why we thought things that other guys wouldn't understand and never could understand.
Yep.
And for years, we even tried that maybe when we didn't believe in God, we tried to pray it away. It doesn't fucking happen. It's not a choice. It's who you are. If you don't accept that, it haunts you.
I mean, it is an act of sheer bravery. It was bad enough for me as a grown woman. And like I said, I had nothing to lose.
It's really not about bravery. I've been told that, God, you're so brave. No, it was this or die.
Right. But no, that's what I'm saying. I mean, for
that's
me,
it was this or die. This or die, either by my own hand or the stress of dealing with it was going to kill me. One way or the other.
That's what I said to on the show. I said, when somebody becomes, you know, decides to live their truth, it is a life affirming and life saving action.
Yes.
When my best friend is going through right now, Do you think she woke up and say, hey, I want to, you know, and everything that Robin is going through? And I'm like, oh, bitch, stop. I'm still mad about giving birth. And that was 33 years ago. And that shit hurt. Okay. So wait. Mm-hmm. I said, this surgery saved my best friend's life. I said, I think I got the word wrong. I think I said dysmorphia, but I know it's a different word. But my point being, I said, if my friend had not had that surgery, I don't know how much longer she would have lasted.
Texas calls it genital mutilation.
Yes. So do the TERFs. Oh. And so do the TERFs. We've hit the top of the hour. I've made it through 3 hours with a lot of help from Annette. I left my chaise longue on Cleopatra's barge to get back over here to the board. But I wanted to send out thanks to Kevin in Massachusetts. Thank you, Kevin. We are now down to 1040. How's that for a number? We're down to 1040 to go to catch up with all of this week. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you so very much. I hope we can knock it down some more over the course of the evening, or maybe folks listening to the podcast and whatnot. I got a couple of emails to share. Great to hear from Darlene in Connecticut, agreeing with Tracy. Of course black women saved this nation. That's why the conservative white capitalist, what liberal, yeah, there we are, media is Hillaryizing Kamala. They're excoriating her because they'll be damned if a black woman ever gains the center seat. It was bad enough that a half-black man did. And truth be told, a tiger doesn't change his stripes, and I'll add, and neither do skunks. Darlene says, I don't see Biden throwing Kamala a lifeline. Sorry, but I don't. Kamala's gotten a portfolio of intractable issues. Sorry, but Anita Hill. And yeah, I guess this could, in many ways, could be, yeah. Our dear friend Cynthia in the Bay Area, adding her voice, said, I just got back from my long walk, and I tuned in. And let me say as well, it was either transition, get the surgery, or die for me, too.
Die.
Yep. Yeah, it's a common thread. That's a hell of a badass binary, either by your own hand, like Terry says, or just from the stress of dealing with it. Because one of the things, and I've said it over and over and over again, with literally the first dose of hormones, feeling the anxiety peel away. And right now where I am, it's still really uncomfortable. And I complain a lot and moan and groan. And I want to be out doing more things than I'm doing. But I'm on my way to a much, much, much better reality. And I've got people like Terry and Cynthia and other dear friends who constantly reassure me and tell me that place is out there, and that you will get to that place. It just takes
time. It gets better, huh? It gets better.
Lord, I hope so.
It does.
I just want to be able to sit in my chair and do the show for 3 hours without going, oh, it hurts. I need to go.
I'll be 2 or 3 months. That's all. Sorry. You know, it takes time. You'll be there.
We'll get there. We'll get
and
there.
Your voice will You'll not work.
You'll get there.
Thank you, John Prideveaux. You are.
Quick question.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, Roger. Yeah, you said something about food porn.
Yeah, hey, yeah. I'm working on a care package. For you.
Ooh.
And the packing material, these are wood chips or chunks. Apple, blended hardwood, alder, hickory, mesquite, or cherry. Smoking wood.
Sounds like a barbecue.
Is that a choice, or is that just all going in one?
That's a choice.
Alder, please, alder.
Okay. Now, do you want the larger chips, or do you want the finer, you want chunks, which are the bigger chips, or do you want the little chips, which are smaller?
Probably chips. Yeah, chips. Okay. Because when it's real fine and sawdusty, it's hard to get anything out of. and the chunks really aren't wouldn't be that good for packing material. So we'll go chips.
Well, what I could blend it a little bit. If I'm getting older, I could use both.
Okay, chunks and chips would be wonderful.
Split it out. And then I'm going to make a little weird comment here. My daughter-in-law told me I shouldn't do it. But you're going to have to be careful with this stuff I'm sending you because it's liable to grow hair on your chest.
Woohoo! Well, that's what the electrolysis is for, so that's cool.
And then I saved the brine. It's got a pH of about 4.4, but it's going to have a real bite to it as well.
Ooh.
Pretty acidic.
Ooh,
acidic.
Well, I can't wait.
But it's peppers. Yeah. It was my last batch of peppers, and I saved the brine this time because I figured, what the hell, if it fits, it ships.
You and the U.S. Postal Service, damn right. Thank you, Roger. That's wonderful.
So, I'll dig out your address or something and get back to you later. But the food porn part of it was, I did a 9.5-pound beef roast yesterday on a mix of apple and cherry. And I got it up to 135 and then shut the smoker down and let it sit for a half hour. And it came out just gorgeous.
Oh, I bet it was. Just daggum beautiful. And I was at the Wiggling, and I took a picture. Actually, Annette took a picture of me. I'm still amazed by the fact that at this extremely bougie Piggly Wiggly that's our nearest grocery store, that they've got a bank of beer taps. That's about a dozen taps, and you can buy a growler of beer at the Piggly Wiggly in Birmingham, Alabama, for Jesus sakes.
I like that. God, that's my kind of Piggly Wiggly.
You can't even get that at Rouse's down there. I mean, and you know how much I love Rouse's.
Yeah. Yeah. The pig. Shop at the pig.
I shop at the pig, the Wiggling Pig. Because I've got a Piggly Wiggly up at home, and I sent the young man who's the manager there, who's a friend of mine. I said, "Man, you got to up your game. Look at this shit." They had some seriously highfalutin bougie sake. No kidding.
Sake.
Mm-hmm. And
oh my God, that's like alcohol. I'm sorry.
That's a Wiggling Pig.
It's only 15%. Wow. It's only 15% alcohol, and it's so. There's so many different kinds of sake. So many fascinating. Oh, I do too. Yeah. Although, you know, I don't, but I do. But Annette took a picture of me standing in front of the taps and just, you know, with this look of delirious, stunned amazement on my face. I mean, it's like, really? I mean, for God's sakes, Terry and I grew up in a time. When if you wanted a beer, especially if you were underage, Terry was a good girl. I wasn't. You had to drive.
Yeah, well,
you had to drive to the Tennessee state line. And that was Alabama too. And to see this in a grocery store in Alabama.
Yeah, really.
Progress, baby. We're making it slowly but surely.
And Delta 9 THC gummies and all of that.
You go. You can't stop it.
Progress is coming. Progress is coming. It is. Now if the people who are buying the craft beer and the gummies would just get out and fucking vote, maybe we could save this state.
We're working on them, Robin. That's why me and you are here, baby.
Yep. That's why this community exists. That's why the Blue Dot family exists.
Start cheering that shit.
And I gotta figure something out, because you know dealing with what you know, Terry said it gets better. I'm trying to figure out a way to use Pree's trees to alleviate some of that, and it would be so nice if I could.
I don't know why you couldn't. Well, I don't. I don't know. It would be tempting to try.
It is. But it has been a magnificent evening. Terry, I just messaged you and I'll put it up on.
Yeah, I just saw the picture. It's pretty awesome.
Isn't that cute?
Never knew such things existed at the pig.
Oh, my. I'll put that up on social media here after the program. Because when the first time I walked by, I was looking at it like a cow looking at a new gate. That there is beer, and this here is a grocery store.
This cannot be real. Cannot be real.
Them are taps. Them are not taps. Them are two taps. Them are 12 taps. And apparently there's a bunch of brewing going on in Alabama. Ah, and
they're building a new place down the road from me. Well, about 9 miles down the road from me. It's going to be a brewery and restaurant. A microbrewery and a restaurant together. So they're going to brew their own beer and serve it right there.
Well, you need to make friends so that you can at least have the beer half of Beer and Bud Friday there.
Indeed. And today was in Beer and Bud Friday. And if you check out today's video, the first one to get a sip out of the beer was Jenny.
Oh, bless her little heart.
My donkey was sitting right there at my shoulder. When I opened my beer, she just kind of nudged me. So I held the beer up there. And sure enough, she got the first sip. And
oh, nice.
I followed up after her. And there you go.
Yeah.
Normally, Robin, when I've thought of the Wiggling Pig, I think of a place you'd want to get in and out of it faster than you would want to get in and out of Melania Trump.
Oh, wait. Oh, no. Oh, he went there.
Oh, you're going to fillet a murder hornet in hell for that, Christopher.
Oh, man. They're going to hunt you down.
Speaking of her, where's she hanging out these days?
They never gave Melania a shit.
House, that's for damn sure.
$50,000 purse.
Yeah, what? I mean, I know, $50,000. Jesus, really?
You know? But probably a $350 pot. Oh, that's obscene. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, y'all have a lovely evening. It has been a wonderful conversation. I love our
Friday
Night
Front Porch conversation. I already have. Thanks to you. Thank you very much, Robin.
Thank you, John.
It was mighty fun.
Thank you, Miss Terry. I'm so glad you came by. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you to everybody who jumped in on the conversation, Christopher and Jeremy in Vermont and Roger. And thank you, Sparky, always for hosting. We missed you. We missed you, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan. Thank you, Steve in New York. I'm sure I'm missing people. Thank you, Gary. Thanks to everybody who jumped in and knocked down the fundraising goal a little bit. We're at 1040. If anybody on the overnight crew wants to help out, it's kind of like what Jerry Reed said. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. There's a lot of bills waiting to be paid. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you to our Patreon subscribers. Thank you, Troy, for being the first new subscriber at Patreon we've had in a long time. Thank you to our PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program, this long-running conversation, whatever manner you so choose. Thank you so very much. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room and in the Old Holler Tree. We sublet from the Keebler Elves, where we keep the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time, it really would, I keep saying it, to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask them to please co-sponsor HR 2073. Hey, John Bredevoe, you want a big laugh? Call Mike Cloud's office and ask him to do that. Wouldn't that be a
hoot? Yeah. That, one of us would get a laugh.
Yeah, I know.
Get rid of him.
And please get your booster or your vaccine if you haven't. I can't imagine there's anybody in our community that hasn't gotten their vaccine yet. But get your booster. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer everywhere you go. Carry a little bottle with you. Pocket, purse, backpack, European-style messenger bag. Just don't assume that somebody's going to have some when you get where you're going. Maintain your social distance. Wear your mask the best that you can get. And for God's sakes, if some idiot bottle blonde comes toward you hollering about, I could care less if they think I killed conservatism, avoid that woman like the plague. Because she is. And always, always, always. Gina, It's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.